Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro. I'm also incredibly sick right now, so we're going to make this short and sweet so I can go back to bed and continue watching some of my favorite Christmas movies. On the show this week for you, ladies and gentlemen, we have Emily Angela Clark without any Ian Bawa and myself sitting down for a real talk. It's the start of our Christmas programming this month, so be prepared. We're going to hit you with some Christmas cheer all the way to New Year's Eve. On the show this week, you have got best needle drop in a Christmas movie, what song fits that scene just perfectly. If you could turn any movie into an advent calendar, what would it be and what would you offer in said advent calendar? And who is your Grinch? Is your Grinch Boris Karloff? Is your Grinch Jim Carrey? Is your Grinch Benedict Cabbage Patch? Cumberback, whatever the fuck we call him. Who's your Grinch and how do you like it served to you? Plus a weekly watch list that includes such things as Survivor, White Lotus, Killer Sally. Tons of stuff have been watched over the last couple weeks with us. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show for you this week, ladies and gentlemen. The only announcement I have for you is the same one I had last week, December 16th, live from Wee Johnny's. We are doing a live recording plus stand-up December 16th, 8 p.m. at 177 McDermott in the Exchange in Winnipeg. Doors open at 8, so get there right fast because we have limited reservations. If you want to find out more about that, you can DM us, Real Debaters Pod, R-E-E-L, on Instagram. Slide into our DMs and ask any question you want. Show goes on at 9. We'll have Milan Horansky and Sarah Jane opening up with some stand-up. And then right after that, we're going to give you 3 rounds of the Secret Santa debate. It's one of our favorites. It's a yearly staple. We act as if we've got to shop for our favorite movie characters. What are we buying? Why are we buying it? Why is it the best gift ever? So we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to spread a lot of cheer. If you've ever been to one of these shows in the last couple of years, you know that we encourage audience participation. We want you to call us out. We want you to argue with us. We want you to come up with your own idea because it's going to be on the show. We're going to release it. Your ideas, your opinions, we can put it out into the world because we like a rising tide lifts all ships. So we like your opinion. We like our opinion. Let's put it together and see what happens and what kind of night we can put on. So, again, December 16th, 8 p.m., doors open, 9 p.m., show starts. Wee Johnny's, $10 at the door. It'll be pretty fun. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to have one of your friends be like, if you checked out these fucking idiots from The Real Debaters, they're a blast to laugh at. And that's what we're here for, ladies and gentlemen. We are here to amuse you because we are Winnipeg's second best podcast thanks to the Uniter 30 this year, 2022. Winnipeg's second best podcast. We love the first best podcast, which is Witch Police Radio. Go check them out if you're into independent music and the thriving music scene that we have here in Manitoba. Sam is a great guy. Sam, we're coming for you next year, buddy. We're going to take out the king. So December 16th, see you there. Be square. We hope to see you there because we want to meet our fans. We want to see who's listening to the show in Winnipeg. So great time to meet us. Come down. Charles will be there. I'll be there. Emily will be there. And we'll have a special guest on stage with us as well, too. I have nothing else for you, ladies and gentlemen. So I give you the first real talk of the Christmas holidays. I give you Ian. I give you me. And I give you Angela. Emily Angela Clark, for that matter. So cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. Welcome back to the show. Welcome to the place that asks that lovely question. What happens when real life meets real life? You are in for a Christmas treat with myself, Michael Petro, who's sitting next to me.
I'm Ian Bawa.
And across the room,
Ian Bua. Just kidding. I'm Emily Clark.
I want to call you Ian Bua now.
Emphasis on the boo. Bua.
Bua. Hua. Yeah. Right? Get Al Pacino to say it. Emily. Ian Bua. I can never get enough of the scent of a woman. I'm sorry. That line, those
hooah,
hooah, right? I don't know what you're talking about here, son.
Chris O'Donnell.
Right?
Right? Isn't it?
It is. There's like, what's the one he did with Renee Zellweger where there was like 1,000 brides and it was just him and he was afraid of getting married?
This is Chris O'Donnell.
This is a Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, I know what
comedy.
You're talking about. I've seen it. I don't
Yeah, Runaway,
it,
not Runaway Bride.
Not Runaway Bride. I've
no.
seen this movie.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, I do.
That. Whatever show he's been doing recently, Hawaii Five-0.
Hawaii Five-0.
And Batman. Those are the only Chris O'Donnell credits.
Three Musketeers.
Okay, my bad. Yep.
With Kiefer Sutherland.
Fair enough.
Is Chris O'Donnell like Dano from Hawaii Five-0? Is that who that is?
I think so.
I think so.
Like the
He's
blonde
in the
guy?
Remake.
He's Chris O'Donnell.
He's Chris O'Donnell. Donald or Donald?
He's the guy who had nipples on his costume too in Batman Forever.
Chris
and
O'Donnell
Batman
had
and
some
Robin.
Nips.
Batman and Robin, yeah. Well, introduced in Forever, but yeah, carried through.
I'm sure there's another Chris O'Donnell movie.
I'm sure there's tons.
Yeah.
But those are the immediate frontal
lobe.
Yeah,
no. It's Batman Forever for me. It's like and Batman and Robin, but everything else is like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. He had his life. Anyways, there's a Chris O'Donnell moment for you, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Welcome to A Real Talk this week. It's Christmas time. At least we're pretending it's Christmas time because it's still November, but whatever. It's Christmas time on the show, so this is A Real Talk centered around Christmas topics, Christmas ideas, Christmas feelings. We are going to talk to you about our favorite needle drops in a Christmas film. So, like, that moment where the music kicks in and it just totally complements the fucking scene. We're also going to review Grinch Three Ways. I figure we'll talk about it like a Top Chef episode. I'll have my Grinch Three Ways. I'll have it original, so unencumbered.
Deconstructed.
Yeah. This is a Grinch foam. This is a Grinch sous vide.
Yeah.
So original Grinch from, what is it, the 70s?
Boris Karloff. 60s or 70s?
You're a mean one.
Exactly.
Mr. Grinch. So we'll figure out if we like our original, if we like our Jim Carrey, or if we like our Benedict Cabbage Patch versions. Maybe we'll meet in the middle. Maybe we won't. And then finally, if you could take any movie and turn it into an advent calendar, give us a couple days of your advent calendar. Is it a Christmas Day gift? Is it December 12th? What fucking day out of that advent calendar? Because we're all fed up with chocolate oranges, chocolate calendars. We want...
Please speak for yourself. I love chocolate.
Really?
I love chocolate. I love calendars. I love Christmas. There's nothing bad about advent calendars at all. There's a cheese advent calendar.
There's a
dog advent calendar.
Okay, what happens in a dog advent calendar?
Just dog treats.
You get so many dogs. Okay, so the two best advent calendars I've ever had, though, have been cheese and wine, like you said. But I'm a lactose intolerant alcoholic, so I can't actually have cheese, and I can't have wine. Well, I can, but I might join a band or like something, end up on a tour bus in like
or break
Latvia.
My washer.
Yeah. So.
It's funny because like if you do like the math of like how much cheese or wine you're getting, it's not like.
But it's
smart.
But you also get the fun. You
yeah,
know?
Of opening a thing. Yeah, I know. No, I get it. It's, I know what fun is. I read about it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
This thing, fun. That's new, isn't it?
It's a band.
Yeah. It was gone for 2 years.
Yeah. They spell it PHUN.
Yeah. Fun and fat.
Fun and fat.
So that's what's on the show for you this week, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, let's step off this mortal plane and go into the world of fake and make believe and playtime. I'll go last. Because you guys, Ian, it's been forever. Because you're a busy fucking filmmaker and you're ripping your pec.
I ripped my pec muscle.
You ripped your pec muscle. And everybody on TikTok got to see it. It was unfortunate that you didn't make Comic-Con, but
I had surgery.
I totally understand. Like, dude, like.
I've had a bad few weeks.
We were walking around. We were moving. Like, you would not have had a good time. You would have been very uncomfortable.
Probably.
So, and to the 47 people that showed up, we love you for it.
Don't be silly. There's like at least 48.
Okay. My bad. Sorry. I round up at work, not outside of work. I'm a dude. I'm always rounding up. If you're over 18, you'll get that joke. Yeah, exactly. 7.2 inches of people.
Which is basically 8.
So, yeah, it's been a minute. Same with you. So I'll wait because I'm always here and I can talk about shit forever. So, eeny, meeny, miny, Ian, boo-wah. You go first.
That's me. Well, ironically, since we decided to leave the plane of reality, I will tell you that I watched a lot of reality TV this week.
Dancing with the Stars finale?
I did not. You know what? I haven't been watching Dancing with the Stars, but... As we know, I love Survivor, and so Survivor's on right now, so I watched some Survivor, but also a favorite of mine, The Great British Bake Off.
I hear nothing but good things.
Yeah, so The Great British Bake Off is on, and so I also watched that, which is just absolutely a delightful show, and it was the finale, so I not only did I get to see it, I get to see who won.
Who's the host of this one? Do they change it every year?
It's like Noel Fielding and Matt... what's he called there? He was, you know.
I was just asking to show I'm interested. I don't know these people.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they British?
he's a British comedian. He's like very, very white, like almost albino. He was on...
almost too privileged.
Very, very much colonizer. No, I'm just kidding. He was on Doctor Who at one point. I can't.
Okay.
Literally everyone who lives in England.
Stupid.
I even have a credit on Who.
Yeah. Do you?
And I've never been to England.
I love it.
Kidding. I
bet
I wish I had it. Yeah. I wish I stood next to a TARDIS.
Exterminate. But yeah, no, it was. They were both really good. So Survivor's still only like halfway through, which is
awesome. Watching it too.
What island are they on?
Same one.
The one that Survivor owns now.
Do they own an island?
Yeah, I think
so. Dude, you didn't. Okay.
In like Fiji?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. They own an island in Fiji. Yeah. So
it stopped being a TV show and definitely started becoming a science experiment when they bought the island.
Oh, so it's not
basically
like,
just Lost now.
So what do they call each season then?
They're just Survivor. Like
they usually don't call it like the Outback.
Well,
like,
Iteration 47.
Yeah.
They used it for a while. It was like Survivor Blood and Water or like Survivor like David and Goliath or whatever. This season's just Survivor.
Yeah. It's Survivor coming off of 2 years of a pandemic because they filmed two a year, so it takes a year to get like so they're a year and a half behind essentially.
Right. But they also filmed once back to back, right? The last two.
Yeah, this is the second of the back to back.
And do they still have like format, right? Immunity idols?
Yep.
I know. I remember in the newer ones they had like if you find the secret idol.
There's definitely fancy ones now. Like you can. There's one that's called the Knowledge is Power advantage, and so if you play the Knowledge is Power advantage and you ask a person, like if I think that you have a immunity idol and I say like, Ian, do you have a hidden immunity idol? You can't lie about it. You have to say yes, and not only that, you have to give it to me. And so that's had some really fun effects of like people.
That's so lame.
Oh no, but you'd think so, except it's resulted in people handing off their idols to other people to like trick the person.
There's a huge
who's
bait
playing.
And switch that happens that day.
And then like somebody goes home with like an idol in their pocket because like I think you're gonna ask me, so I give it to Mike, and then you ask me, I say no, I don't have it, and then we vote Mike out because we know that like he's got my idol in his pocket. So I lose my
It's a fucking giant game of hot potato.
It's crazy.
That's so weird.
It's been really fun.
I'm sure it's fun. Like, again, like, the last time I watched Survivor, I think I did it, like, with the group where everyone, you know, has their people. I just, like, I used to be a huge Survivor fan. I'm, you know, hey, man, Richard Hatch.
We all can't go the distance, man. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's so much show.
It's never ends. But anyway, so the point is, this week, I did not stray far from reality unless you tried. Oh, and then also, speaking of which, on the reality check, I also watched Bachelor in Paradise.
Do you feel your brain rotting?
You know what? I don't watch television to get smarter. I watch television to enjoy my time. And I spent quite a lot of time trying to like pretend I didn't like reality TV or to like uphold my street cred or something as a pop culture aficionado. And that's just bullshit. I love reality TV.
I'll co-sign that.
I love it.
I was the same way. I turned my nose up at it. And then slowly but surely the cooking shows... It's a gateway drug.
Yeah,
right.
They're easy.
Yeah.
I'm not like
you watch Chopped one time.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you're like watching 24/7 live feeds on Big Brother.
I'm watching Love is Blind, and I'm like, how did I fucking get here?
Too hot to handle. So
too hot to handle. Yeah. The Circle.
The Circle.
You think you're gonna turn it off because you're like, man, I really gotta go to bed. And you're like,
I watched the first season of The Circle because COVID, and I remember that.
I love how you fucking ended that.
Because it was COVID. It was COVID. There's nothing else to do.
No, I know, but you probably wouldn't have.
I probably wouldn't have. No, but there was like the characters in it were like pretty funny.
That's absolutely. There's a reason that reality TV is so popular. It's cheap to produce, right? Yeah. As opposed to scripted TV, even though it's definitely to some degree scripted. And it's,
thank you for admitting that.
You know, I don't really notice it until I am not in my right mind. You know, like when it makes it like when you like take an edible or like smoke a bunch of weed or something, and it really makes your ability to buy into the reality of it a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
And then so I've actually had to turn off Bachelor in Paradise. I had to turn it off because I was like, I'm not enjoying this, and I love this show, but I'm like not believing this love story right now. And I'm like, so I had to turn it off and come back to it.
Season finale tonight?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure is. Well, that's okay. I steal my television, so I have to watch it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so I'm watching Survivor with you. Like, not with you, but like we're watching.
It's like, in my house? Because that's like, you know, you could just ask.
under the sink is getting a little cramped. Bad Wi-Fi, too. Are you finding this season a little like these people don't know what the fuck they're doing?
I feel like this season is
toddlers with idols.
I feel like it's very congenial, you know, like there's not a lot of, they don't do a lot of, outward gameplay, but there have been a lot of blindsides, which is kind of fun.
Which is because of the inability to stick through. Like, I'm not going to try to name the names of the cast right now, but last week's episode with the dude with the long goatee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jafar.
Exactly. He's a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, he did. I don't know exactly who you're talking about. The old guy, right?
Yeah, the old guy.
Yeah.
Who had, like, he's losing, if I remember correctly, he lost his shit a little too quickly and started, like, it just seems that these people are playing by their emotions and not
by. And then, like,
by...
Jesse and, what's his name, pulled him in. Jesse and Chris pulled him
yes.
in. Yeah. Which I think Jesse's playing a really good game. I'm really excited about
Jesse,
that.
Jesse, is he the 19-year-old kid?
No, that's Sammy.
Sammy.
And Sammy is really good. But don't tell anyone. He's 19. Remember? He lied.
Well, that's right. He didn't. Sorry. He's not,
23
he's not
or something.
Yet.
Was he like lying to everyone?
Yeah.
But he's
or,
the biggest because, fucking 19-year-old ever.
Yeah. He's really good, though. He seems to be really mature. Mature.
Mature.
Is Jeff Probst still hosting?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Damn. How old is that guy?
The exact same age as he was when he started.
He looks,
whatever
he doesn't
that age,
age
is.
I know.
He
made that sweet deal.
He's got. They bought the Fijian islands so that they can do their like blood transfers. I think from the youths on the show.
Damn.
What day do you think Keanu Reeves shows up to do that?
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if we're talking about non-aging,
I don't know,
Hollywood.
Because like when I watched the whatever Matrix 4, I was like, you notice it there, or like, oh yeah, he's aged.
Yeah, but that's like 48 years apart from the original.
Yeah, still.
Like, you're like, oh, look, he might be 2 or 3 years older.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like Survivor.
Technology's not infallible, Ian.
I think Survivor is experiencing what COVID did to every production. It modified something, and people aren't finding their groove. And I don't know. I want to get back to like, let's get beyond how hard it was to make. Because this is one of the hardest shows to make during a pandemic.
You know what they could do? Less. Like tricks, you know, like
I guess
you could go back to season one or season like two Survivor where it's just like where there's just people and there's immunity idols and that's it. And there's not all these other like, you know,
like the New England Patriots playbook. There's 70 fucking versions of one play.
Yeah. And then it's just like it's just down and dirty, like out without last out play. Right.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Back to ones, back to roots.
Sounds pretty boring. Okay.
Well, no. Like, and I mean,
Survivor 3, back to the hood in space.
Tales from the Island.
Yeah.
And they're not doing Ponderosa anymore, I don't think, which was fun. Like when I came to Ponderosa late. So Ponderosa is like Big Brother where like there's the after the show stuff.
Yeah.
The online stuff that's kind of edgy where everyone's hooking up and stuff. Like it's
they like show that?
You can get it. It's
you can pay for it.
I don't know if you pay for it, but you can get it on the website.
You used to be able to. It was like how Big Brother has like Big Brother After Dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So is there nudes?
No, it's just like...
Well, then why the fuck would I want to watch
it? It's like your secondary plot lines.
Yeah, it's stuff that doesn't make the show that you're like, if you're really into it, you just get another plot line.
Which, whoever is listening that produces reality TV, by the way...
Mark Burnett.
Mark Burnett, that's true.
The only
person. They're, like, showmances are never secondary plot lines. Like, I don't know why you would ever choose to cut that out, but, like, I want to know about people's, like... lurid on-screen romances more than I want to know about anything else. Like, if your show was just about that and, like, forgot about the $1 million, I'd be fine with it. If you're like, I'll let you have sex and let you have a shower after if you have sex on Survivor. Like, it'll be like a reward. Like, that's how much I want to see relationships
happen.
You
want to see this played out
under these kind of pressure situations.
You two have the right to fucking shower after. That's what's up for reward.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's too hot to handle. That's basically too hot to handle.
It's basically too hot to handle. Except the opposite. We want them to not fuck.
Yeah.
In the shower.
But they get to shower all the time.
But they get to shower a lot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hang on here. You're on Survivor. It's like day two.
Nine.
It's a lot of days after your last shower, and you're in a position in life where hooking up is not a problem. You're single, right? Do you hook up on Survivor Island fully knowing that you haven't, you know, doused your undercarriage at all in, say,
there's
9 days?
Beach.
There's a beach. There's salt water. Let's not pretend that that's going to clean the nitty gritty shit.
It's going to clean the nitty gritty.
Okay. 100,000%. Actually, I have already said many times that my plan of attack for any reality TV show, if I ever make myself on one, is showmance. You get that showmance and you're protected. Like, sorry, Dan, I'm coming home with $1 million. I'm finding myself a man or woman, let's be honest.
So
someone,
you're Demi and he's Woody.
Someone,
this is an indecent
someone,
proposal.
Someone who's going to protect me, and they're going to be so in love with me, they're going to do stupid game shit. They're like, throw away their game to protect mine, and it's like, thanks. And that's how I win $1 million.
You know that. They never work long term.
It's
true.
They will cut you.
Because they know that you're forming an alliance that's on another level.
Oh,
it's
you mean
unbreakable.
Like other people will get in the way? That's true. So
I
maybe
like,
what I need is several showmances.
You just need to fuck everybody and not let any of them find out you're fucking them all. And then everybody's in your pocket. Just fuck to win.
In my pocket? I don't think that's how sex works.
No, I mean, metaphorically speaking. You're in your vagina, but in your pocket. Sorry. Let me bring up the chart here. Right here, there's vagina. Yeah. No, okay, I'm glad you think that. Because it's just getting too mechanical.
Yeah.
I think. And, I mean, without digging into, like, examples and going long on the show, it's still the same great survivor. It's still a science experiment. Still fun to watch people fuck each other over. And then I like watching the editing because I'm like, oh, I know they're editing that way. That person's going home. And me and Shauna are more right than we are wrong.
Yes. Where you see someone on screen a whole bunch and you're like, oh, man, I've got this person's backstory. And they've had like we're trying to fill their like allotted, you know, preset television time. You can tell like they haven't had their like guaranteed 20 minutes or something of time. They haven't had it yet or whatever. So,
yeah.
They're filling it there.
OK. Any fake stuff or just all real stuff this week?
I mean, like,
it's fine. I'm just like
fake stuff here and there, you know, like scattered throughout. I actually started the last season of Dead to Me on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Christina Applegate.
Yeah. Christina Applegate, which,
what's her face from ER?
What's her face from ER?
Hawkeye's wife.
Well, Hawkeye's wife, Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Velma from Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Yeah. So really good. I love the Linda first two Cardellini. Seasons. That's it. Linda Cardellini.
You're welcome.
Point Ian.
She, the first episode, like the last two seasons I found.
What's the premise for a listener?
So Dead to Me, the first season, basically the premise is there's a mom and her husband dies and she gets involved with this woman in a like a weird sort of friendship kind of way, and it turns out
a support group?
In a support group for, I forgot about that part. But yeah, in a support group for people who've lost their husbands or their partners, and their lives get intertwined in these like weird, crazy ways, and all sorts of like violence and murder and drugs and sex, and it's lots of fun. The first two seasons I started watching, I couldn't stop. This last season, I watched the first episode and a half, and not that I didn't enjoy it, I just like I had other stuff to do. Whereas last time, this show trumped other stuff to do. So right. I don't know. I can't say for sure how the season's
third
gonna...
season statistically suck in shows.
But
it is the last season.
Yeah, it's the final season.
It's even worse.
And you know what? Christina Applegate, I think in real life, is sick. I think she has MS. Yeah. And so she's been one of my favorite actors.
She's a killer.
For my whole life. Yeah, she's amazing. So I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm definitely enjoy the first couple episodes. I was just too busy watching
people
fall in love on Bachelor in Paradise.
Before we leave you, do you believe, in fact, all of us, do we believe that love can be found in such a microcosm, in such a videoed format, like Big Brother, like whatever show where you're trying
of
to
course.
Find it? Can you find it? Really?
Yeah. It's like summer camp relationships on steroids. Yeah. You know, like you remember going to summer camp and you were there for a week and you like met this person and you're just like, oh my God, I love him so much. And this is my summer camp boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, the intensity.
Yeah, the intensity because it's all them all the time for a week straight. So it's like that, but in Big Brother or Bachelor or Bachelorette, Bachelor
except
in
no
Paradise.
Food.
Yeah. And it's all them all the time. And then do I think that relationships translate from that outside in the real world often? No. But certainly, it's a really strong
good
like,
for
pressure.
The time.
Yeah,
and it's a pressure cooker way to get to know somebody. So it's not impossible. And I think, honestly, I think that the split you see out of those shows from like showmances to real world romances is a pretty good indication of how often it works, which is probably like.
But they're contractually obligated to stay together for a year.
No, because there's definitely people who are married, right?
Yeah.
From Big Brother and from Bachelor.
Okay.
But it's not often. Like, of all the. That's easily hundreds and hundreds of couples that have come across Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. I could probably not even list 10 that are still married right now.
Got it. You can, I can't, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
How many Walk of Fames on the Hollywood Boulevard do you give Dead to Me? Because she just got her star.
She did just get her star. Yeah, you know, I'm going to give Dead to Me 5.
Okay.
Because season 1 and season 2 were so good. And I haven't watched enough of season 3 to give it a fair.
Okay.
So, is it 5 out of 5?
5 out of 5 Walk of Fame stars.
Or, 5 out of 5. All right, cool. We change this each week. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 5. I don't
five
whatever.
Hey. 5 out of 2.
5 out of 2. Divide it to the power of
7.
3.14?
It's actually really good.
So 3.333 repeating.
I've heard only positive things.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, and you are over the age of 18 and don't mind swearing a lot, then you should definitely
Fuck yeah.
I like Linda Cardellini a lot.
She is not only beautiful, but a very, very, very good actor. Mm-hmm. And her character in this show is so eminently lovable and flawed and frustrating, and it's great.
I watched her in a show with Kyle, not McLaughlin, Kyle from Friday Night Lights, please. Kyle...
I know you're talking about Chandler.
Kyle Chandler, thank
Chandler.
You. Chandler. Yeah, Godzilla, Kyle Chandler. There was a show with him and Ben Mendelsohn and her and Sissy Spacek on Netflix. I never remember the name.
I don't know the show.
Okay, I need to look this up for a minute. But the point
Weekend
of,
edition. No,
Linda, you said Linda Cardellini, right? Yeah,
Cardellini.
Okay, perfect. I love Google.
Tortellini?
I don't remember.
Linguini.
There's so many. So many eyes.
Okay, so IMDb here. Anyways, it's four seasons. She plays a lawyer in a family who owns a resort in the Keys in Florida, and a dark brother comes back into the fold and fucks up everything for this family.
I started watching that.
I don't know
Legacy.
What that is.
Not Legacy. It's something like Legacy. Hang on
Legend.
Here.
Legend.
No, Bloodline.
Bloodline. That's oh, it. I started watching it, and then I didn't keep going.
Watch the fuck out of it.
Oh, okay.
It. Watch so the fuck out of it. It's so good. And she's awesome in it because she's on the cusp of like hooking up and getting married, and her life's perfect. And then this fucking crazy death happens. I don't want to ruin it for you. And it spirals everybody out of control. And it's these four family members trying to keep shit together while lying to each other and hiding shit. And the cops get involved. And it is slow burn and just a build of tension. So anyways, yeah, Linda Cardinelli's awesome. Before we move on to Ian, let's make some room for what's a Christmas movie that you watch every year that you absolutely love? And we'll talk about that for a second. And then let everyone know out there that maybe they too should watch it if they haven't.
I can't imagine a single person in the world hasn't seen this movie, but National Lampoon's Christmas
Vacation. Ah.
That is the be all and end all of Christmas movies, as far as I'm concerned. It's funny. It is heartwarming. It is rewatchable to the nth degree. It's quotable. It's everything. And I probably watched it too young. My kids probably have watched it too young. But it just is like it's Christmas in a nutshell for me and my family.
It's the worst version of Christmas, but not in your life at that time.
The best worst, And yeah, it's just, I don't know, so funny. And the everything about it, from like Uncle Eddie to like the next door neighbors. And, you know, the overexcited like dad who just wants everything to be perfect. And it's just such a...
Just wants that pool.
Yeah, just wants the pool. Wants the biggest like Griswold Christmas tree. You know, it's the grandma who wraps up her cat. Like, all of it. Yeah.
It's drunk as fuck.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
It is. It's Chevy Chase. Obviously, perfect. Like, I mean, asshole, but perfect fucking comedy.
Perfect
actor.
Comedy. Yeah.
Jelly. Jelly is a Christmas bonus. I mean, every time a bonus happens at work, I'm like, I wonder if this would be Jelly. How upset would I? How Clark would I go? Great fucking
Jelly
pick.
Of the month.
Yeah, club. Great fucking pick. How many deep Griswold pools out of 10? Do you give
out
Christmas
of 10?
Story?
I would give Christmas Vacation like 9. High rise underpants with no line out of 10. I can't. Well, you know what? Maybe even 10. I can't think of a way that it could be any better, honestly.
I haven't seen that movie as much as I should.
It was a staple for my childhood, and I don't watch it that much anymore. I dip back to other shit. But and speaking of, Ian.
Other shit.
Ian, you have the floor, sir. I'll close this out here. So, well, you said movies, right? You
were I have, movies? But actually on the reality TV front.
You're a crack addict too.
Yeah.
I started watching Dancing with the Stars one night and then just got hooked in because it was on
Because
Disney
it's
Plus.
On Disney now.
It's on Disney
and
Plus.
Have you gone back to the beginning?
No, I've just watched. I watched the latest
Who
season.
Who can watch? Those are like 872 seasons.
No, 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 no.
You're
I
not
can't
gonna...
do that.
Bruno watches it every time they record, so
no.
somebody
no.
can.
Len's leaving the show.
Yeah, Len's retiring.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Retired. Yeah. Last night was the season finale.
Who was dancing for
their
life?
The final four was Wayne Brady. Charlie D'Amelio, is that how you say it?
Punch a bitch, Wayne Brady?
Yeah, Wayne Brady. Is it punch or choke?
Choke a bitch, that's it. Sorry.
Charlie.
Wrong way to assault a woman in a joke. My bad. Did you say Mila Jovovich?
No, Charlie D'Amelio or D'Amelio.
Where did I get Mila from?
From TikTok? I don't know. I have no idea. And then Gabby from Bachelorette.
And like Rachel and Gabby?
I guess so. Cool. I have no idea. I was like,
I thought that
did they produce a
I thought
lesbian
that,
couple one year?
No, no, no. There were two girls on at the same time. And it was like, I thought that they were told they have to stop using Bachelor, Bachelorette contestants because like Bachelor Nation is too much.
She's like, she's part
are they,
of the...
Are they going to go under like a antitrust contract? Lawsuit?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, too much. Just two seasons in a row, a Bachelor alum won. And dancing with
the voting
yeah cool.
Right,
the voting pool
because so
Bachelor Nation is
well,
so huge
that's
yeah.
kind of the issue like you cut well to be fair
to
so,
be fair
like okay get it like the can I spoil it I
yeah
know.
Yeah I
so,
think so
please don't
Charlie won the TikTok star who has like 140 million TikTok
unfair.
Followers
okay, yeah.
unfair
and then like Gabby came in second but to be fair they were the two strongest dancers
okay
Charlie yeah. should have won and she did win
okay then my response to that is the show then doubles down on training those people so they don't look like they won being idiots on the floor
I think it's like also has like they were also out of the four they were the two youngest
mm-hmm.
I think I
Oh, younger demographics voting. So
no,
got...
but I also, yeah, maybe.
But also, it's probably easier to dance when you're younger. Like,
yeah.
if someone threw me into a professional dance environment right now and was like, good luck, I mean, my back hurts
What, you
just...
can't foxtrot off the fucking bench?
My back hurts just sitting here. Like
they are really crappy
Alfonso,
chairs.
Well, so Alfonso, I
Ribeiro?
Don't know. No, Alfonso from
Carlton?
Carlton.
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Is that his last name?
Yeah.
Okay. He's co-hosting the show with Tyra Banks, but he was on and he won the show a while back.
Oh, no way.
So I actually YouTubed it because apparently his, like, he was super good.
Yeah, he was. I do. I remember hearing
this. I YouTubed a bunch of his stuff because they did a bunch of like the Carlton dances and like the da, da.
It's not da, unusual.
Da, da, da. Like they did a bunch of his dances as part of the show and he's so good. And he's like in his 50s. So like I think age might not be a factor. I think this season maybe. Wayne was probably like he came in third and he was third best in the show.
He does have a theater background.
Yeah,
he does. And the final four was like this drag queen. I don't really know who she is, but yeah. Otherwise, it was super fun to watch. It was something to do on a Monday night. I don't have a lot of TV I've been watching lately besides this and White Lotus, the new season, which I'm like, it's been fun.
I'm gonna follow
yeah,
up
yeah,
with
yeah.
whatever
you
you're...
you can. I yeah, okay. I wasn't gonna touch.
Are you
really
are you
White
feeling
Lotus.
Like a dance expert now? Whenever I watch Dancing with the Stars, I'll watch a dance and I'll be like. That Venetian waltz was just like not quite perfect on
it
the
It wasn't
back
toe
set.
Heel, toe
yeah.
heel.
It's funny because I think what it is because I'm not a dance expert, if it's fun to watch, it's good. And I think that's like my mental like idea
sure.
of like whether it's good or not. And half the time
am
you
I
can
entertained?
Tell right away, am I entertained?
Yeah.
And like that's the thing where I'm like, she's the best because she's like clearly entertaining. Like I can watch hours of her dancing if I like really wanted to. And yeah, I don't know. I my family was really big into dance growing up, like movies like Dirty Dancing, like Swing Kids, all these like certain movies. So like I was raised in this like weird kind of dance realm, but was never like in dance. So
did somebody
yeah.
put Baby in a corner?
Yeah, maybe. I was like, I'm not a dancer otherwise, though. But yeah, watching that. Otherwise, I've seen pretty much every new movie this last week.
Well, it's fucking award season starting, so I imagine
so
that
I'm
you're
like, I'm
you're
fucking going
through.
Hard.
I'm
going
to be watching movies on Saturday. What should I
yeah, what'd you watch this
well,
week?
Well, this
keep
week.
In mind, my state of mind will be slightly altered, so I don't, nothing
She's eating
super,
cheese this week.
Nothing super serious.
I just got my tickets for Knives Out 2.
Ooh,
for
a glass onion.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
So that's out tomorrow for a week because they're only doing a week theater run before it hits Netflix. So I'm seeing that tomorrow.
Is that the minimum now to get nominated?
I don't fucking know.
I thought 30 like, days. Oh, no, they own their
I think
own...
they're just doing it for people like us who like the theater.
Also, I don't think Knives Out is going to get nominated for...
No,
like,
and maybe a screenplay.
Or maybe, yeah, or
maybe,
like costume or something.
Something, yeah, yeah.
Like... or the costume that Batista isn't wearing. I've seen some of the clips.
Oh, yeah.
I can't...
yeah, totally.
Now, okay, admit it. Right, this game isn't just for you know specific segments. I haven't seen the first one.
Oh, it's not a big. I don't.
It's
I don't fun. Think that's like. Yeah, it's. Fine.
I love a murder really mystery.
Like, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I honestly am like, it's a fun movie, but it's not anything I'd be like, go out and see right away. But it's. I get like it has its fans. Like I'm not really.
Yeah.
Super hyped to see the one tomorrow, but. But
you going with Ryan?
I have to go. Yeah, I'm going with Ryan. Yeah, he got tickets. I was like, yeah, great, let's do it. Otherwise, I watched The Menu.
Talk to me about this. I want to see this movie so bad.
It's Ralph Fiennes and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya or Anna? Anna.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya?
Anya. Anya. Whatever.
It is what it is.
Nicholas Holt and a bunch of other John Leguizamo. And basically it's about a group of well-to-do, wealthy people. They go to a restaurant, a very fancy restaurant where Ralph Fiennes is the chef, and they find out they're in like kind of a horror movie, essentially.
Nice.
And the restaurant doubles as... like a front for this like that's fucking horrific
I'm trying
experience.
Not to spoil too okay. much, but like that's essentially like
what did you enjoy it?
It's a very fun, digestible movie, no pun intended. but it's very like it's just a you know, you don't get a lot of good thrillers that just kind of like hit its beats and well like plays and you know good acting at the same time. I love Ralph Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes is just like can do
Voldemort.
Yeah, you know, like he's and again he's playing essentially the leader of this restaurant. He's so fun to watch being evil, you
yes,
know, like
chef.
Which
yeah.
is kind of his thing.
Yes,
these days. Cooking shows like cooking movies, cooking shows are always fun to watch. You know, it's just like watching. I don't know if you guys have watched The Bear at all. But yeah, The Bear is like.
I know
really
how to drink out of a deli cup. I've watched The Bear.
Yeah, like The Bear is just like a really fun show. Watching food things and like it has all these good. Be Anya Taylor Joy is just again a fantastic actor. Nicholas Holt is so good.
Well, he's Beast, right?
He's in, Beast. In the he's, X-Men. He's the husband in The Great, which he's kind of playing the similar character.
Yeah.
He's the boy in About a Boy.
Yes, that's.
And
what'd you do? I was a boy.
Yeah,
with Hugh Grant. It's about me.
But yeah, very good movie. I also watched. She Said, which is
The Harvey Weinstein,
the Harvey Weinstein
story.
Film about the two journalists that took down who followed the Harvey Weinstein story to the point where they posted or posted on New York Times.
That is the only situation where I am 100% okay with takedown journalism when you're literally taking down a fucking devil.
It's a very interesting.
How does Hollywood? Sorry to cut you off.
No,
how
no,
does
no.
Hollywood tell a story about itself while making a movie about
it's a little bit of eating the snake. It's a good metaphor it's you know what, I'll be honest, the movie itself is okay, but it's an important movie in a sense because
yes
it's
no
important
I
story.
I'm just curious how they approached it really
it's not great filmmaking. I think it comes down to directing and it's just
does it
like,
have a Spotlight feel?
No, because Spotlight's good. this is an interesting story. But doesn't like, and it tells it, and it's more, you're more there because we all know evil this guy was. It's pretty relevant still.
Is this for like, they're putting it on the record so they made a movie about it?
Like, I don't know. It's based on a book. I just think like, they show every aspect of journalism, which is almost mind numbing. There's a scene where a guy goes, doubles, click, back, space, click. Like they do a scene like that.
It's artsy.
It's not even trying to be artsy. I think they're trying to show how like tedious they are, and like I
also,
started laughing.
Also, how much? Okay, because the general person who knows the story probably isn't going to call much shit out. But for the Harvey Weinstein lover, they're going to be like, did they do their fucking diligence?
I don't know.
Maybe,
yeah,
is that why they're showing it?
Again, I think it's a directing thing where I'm like, man, this movie should have been like a half hour shorter. It's fine though, you know.
Okay.
Like it's worth watching for how important.
I've watched every doc about him since it's come out because I'm just like, okay, how did you like? I get that you all need to save your careers,
right?
And this is going to be one of those things like when the Kennedy fucking Zapruder film comes out, and we're all like, there was a fucking third gunman. Like we're all going to find out 100 years from now that everybody knew because they'll all be dead and gone.
Well, they definitely like again, too, there's so many allegations that. They have to pick and choose which ones they want to play on. And I don't think this is a spoiler, but like Ashley Judd's in the film and she plays herself. So, you know, like it's kind of interesting in that sense. But.
I want to see it. I was curious if they would like glamorize it. Not glamorize the nature and the topics, but like budget it up. Right. Or just be as cold and boring as you can because they just want the subject matter to speak for itself.
I think it's like neither. I think it's a very journalistic movie. And it's just kind of plays those beats as a journalistic movie. I think there's flaws because they play the beats to a point where it's like a little too boring at times. It's not, and like, it's a really interesting story. They could have done something, I think, Spotlight.
But then you'll have some film critic being like, was this true? Was that true? Like, so if it's as boring as it is, it's as truthful because it's not trumped up to.
Probably, maybe. Yeah, they do some things like reenactments and stuff with some of the
victims. Like cruise ship killers?
Kind of, yeah.
I know my killer?
Yeah, like all the mini.
What's up, Farpoint?
Yeah. But I don't know. It didn't hit for me, but like again, I think it's an important movie in a sense, an important like story they need to tell. I just wish it was a bit better, not as dry sometimes. So,
Well, and imagine too, like financing that film.
Yeah.
Getting people to touch it that didn't want to, like, that maybe...
I don't know. I wonder the situation now. I don't know what the climate is in Hollywood for that because it's out.
Balmy 31, I think, today.
but like, because, like, you know, I was listening to a podcast that was talking about this film.
What podcast?
It. I think it was, like, one of the NPR...
You listen to other podcasts?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, good.
Do you know that I don't even listen to our show once I'm done editing it? Because I've listened to it 70 fucking times.
That's fair. I do listen to it when it, like, I'm on.
Oh, I do, too. I listen so that I know where to cut shit. Listener, yeah, here's our back behind-the-scenes shit. I know. I listen to edit. I don't listen to be like, oh, that was funny. But sometimes it's funny. Go on.
No, but they were talking about, like, how this, despite it being, like, was a thing that got outed eventually... Everyone in Hollywood knew about it, and that there were jokes during award shows. Like Jimmy Kimmel said, like a joke about like Harvey Weinstein, and like people in the audience laughed, but like people at home were like,
"Someone asked Courtney Love give advice to an up and coming actress in Hollywood, and she was like, don't go to a hotel room with Harvey Weinstein."
Yeah, like shit like that. Like it was all everyone knew about it, but like it wasn't like
just no one could do anything about it.
No one could
so
do
power,
anything about
yeah.
it. It's like I'd say again too, the first two acts of the film is very good. It's just how it ends is like kind of dry. It kind of just teeters down where they're like,
you know, I feel like that is pretty indicative of like what actually happened though.
Like, oh, I thought you were trying to come at me.
No,
okay.
No, like, what? No, I mean like
I'm how... so scared of talking ill of this
it's
movie.
Like, what?
You have no idea how
careful No. I get it. I totally get it because it's such a sensitive topic, and to those who've experienced it triggering. And to shit on the film would be to shit on the topic, but no.
Exactly.
You're not
like,
shitting on the topic. Yeah. You're shitting on how the film was made.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Although I think there's something to that. Like, we came at this, like, hot and heavy, you know, ready to
pun
fight.
Intended?
Ready to, like, burn it all down. And then, like, what actually happened? Like, really?
Yeah.
Things went back to fairly...
Things went back to normal. Yeah. Yeah. Like, fucking, what's his name? Let me jack off in front of you.
Louis
C.K.
Yeah.
is, like... back in action entirely. Isn't he like nominated for an Emmy or something?
TJ Miller.
Yeah, like, come on.
What's his face from that 70s show? Danny Masterson.
Oh, is he?
He's
I,
going
see,
through,
I don't even know.
He's going
anymore.
Through a twofer. It's sexual assault and Scientology.
Right? And so, like, so we talk about cancel culture, but it's not cancel culture. It's just like mute for a little
pause.
While culture.
Right.
Yeah, and then, like, you just
what's
come right
back. What's the other guy? He was in Call Me By Your Name. And
Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer.
I watched
Armie
that
Hammer.
Documentary
I watched
about
that
him.
Documentary, too.
I was fucked up.
That's insane.
I was so fucked up.
Yeah, I didn't realize his family were, like, insanely rich, and he comes from, like,
they're part of the
wealthy.
Patriarchy.
Yeah.
Ooh,
as the kids say these days.
But, like, he has, friend. Like, secret Instagrams account, and, like, yeah, it was kind of crazy.
And, like, his dad died today, actually.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, like, it was on TMZ, so credible. And, like, yeah, his dad died, but his great-grandfather started the Arm & Hammer Oil Company.
Yeah, that's right.
Which
that's
is why there's a hammer in the logo, and, like...
Wait, his name is Armie Hammer, but he's the, like,
his
the
great-grandfather.
Heir of Arm & Hammer?
No, Arm & Hammer. Armand Hammer. Not Arm and Hammer.
Oh, okay.
Who's on first?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about like the baking soda.
No.
I'm
like,
not talking. I'm not telling you how to clean your fridge.
Yeah.
It was Armand.
He's a billionaire from being a baking.
Just like, I have that
baking powder.
I have that toothpaste.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know what baking powder's used to cut with, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, like making hand over fist. Columbia, they buy all the baking powder you can fucking imagine. No, his grandfather's name was Armand Hammer, and he's named after his grandfather.
Roger that.
Army. So, but the Armand oil empire is like he's oil money, old oil money,
right.
Like one of three oil companies, kind of oil money.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
but
call me.
Yeah,
no, you don't. want that. Dude's never acting again.
Do you like bite marks? Because he'll take
for oil company money, maybe.
And he, you know what? Like he's in like very interesting movies. Like Call Me By Your Name is very good. Like he's good in that.
Yeah, Zorro.
He's Zorro. Yeah. Well, what's that?
He's the Winklevi.
You're thinking of Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger. Well, yes, I am. Sorry, Antonio Banderas.
But no, there was another movie he did with Superman.
Oh.
Henry Cavill.
Cavill.
Guy Ritchie.
The Guy Ritchie movie. Man from Uncle. Very good movie.
Based on a TV show originally.
Based on a TV show with Kate Bosworth as well, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Whatever. Armie Hammer. Christmas movie. It's funny. I wouldn't say it's a tradition of watching it, but I do enjoy it, and I usually end up catching it at some point during Christmas. A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Peter Billingsley.
Apparently there's a new one.
There's
he's
a sequel.
A sequel.
It's on Crave right now.
Yeah. Oh, great.
He goes back to the family home.
So, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I tried to watch the I watched the first 5 minutes and I kind of was like, this is ruining what's something special already. And I turned it off.
There is a prime example of it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. I think the first one is just like ahead of its time.
It's a major award. Fragile.
Yeah, like exactly. Like, there's just like really such fun. It's one of those films that it's not, I don't laugh out loud when I watch it, but it's so funny. Like I describe Flight of the Conchord funny, where it's just like when you think about the lines like fragile, you know,
just giggle.
Oh, from fudge.
Italy. Yeah, you know, like, oh fudge, but I didn't say fudge. Like, you know, yeah. The little
Skip
brother
right to the triple dog dare.
Yeah.
My eye. Yeah.
The little brother like can't like move his arms down or
yeah,
whatever.
Every time I put on a snowsuit, I'm just like that kid from Christmas Story.
Yeah, like there's just little things like that. And it, even stylistically, it looks very cool for the aesthetic of the 70s.
It does. It fits. It's like every grandparent's home.
Yeah. It's just, and there's something. It's
wood paneling.
I think if you're like thinking middle class, it showcases it so well.
Working family.
Yeah.
2.5 kids.
Yeah.
The dog.
Yeah.
The dogs.
The dogs, yeah.
The dogs. Chinese restaurant at Christmas time. I mean, that's the cherry on the sundae for me.
Yeah.
Like when everything goes to shit and what's open on Christmas Day.
The Chinese restaurant.
Yeah. I think also, like, I'm a sucker for good voiceover. Like,
the narration.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, the narration's really good. And the, like, pump action, Red Rider, BB gun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just there's so many just, like, quintessential
little
moments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. All right. Cool. How many
leg lamps
out of 10? How many fragiles do you
have? Probably a good 9.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think a good 9.
All right, I'll close this off. So for my weekly, I've been just addicted to White Lotus. And I hate...
Season 2 or both?
Season 2.
Okay.
Season 2. Mike Wright drives me nuts, the writer.
Yep.
He was a Survivor contestant, by the way.
Was he?
Yeah, he played Survivor.
I think I knew that. Yeah, anyways.
He did a season of Survivor. And I think that kind of... Like
was he on the like he was the David and Goliath one? He was
yes.
in the, like he was on the like the
he was the TV writer.
The TV writer. He's like is that the guy who's in School of Rock for like
yep.
2 seconds? Okay.
Oh
yep.
right.
100%.
Mr. Schneebly.
100%. So White Lotus season 2, we're in Italy. We have the same dynamic. Did you see the first one, Emily?
I did not.
Okay.
I haven't seen it at
and,
all.
And
yet.
You know why season 1 happened. Like he wrote a film for COVID, essentially.
Oh.
Yeah. Like that's why he was like, oh, this is like the COVID show I could probably get made. So put everyone on an island, you know, one location.
Easy place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one location, super confined.
Yeah.
So it's, for listener, it's the same as season 1. You have the White Lotus Hotel, except it's the White Lotus property in Italy. It's fucking gorgeous.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh my God. And again, a bunch of, like a ragtag group of people, a motley crew of sorts, all show up for different reasons. You have these couples who, you know, one's faking friendship with the other one because one wants to get that guy's money and invest it in his company. You have Jennifer Coolidge coming back with a horrible marriage, and she's trying to rectify it by being in Italy with her husband, which doesn't go well. You've got Jennifer Coolidge's assistant.
Right.
Who's a millennial who just doesn't know her place in the world. And then you have F. Murray Abraham, Michael Imperioli,
yeah,
which I always screw up, and a guy, the kid who plays Albie. What's his name? Do you know?
I don't know his name. I don't know where he's from, if he's from anything
else. Okay, I think I got him here. Hang on. Ethan Spiller.
Three generation of families.
It's three generations of families, and what they're doing is they're telling
Adam DeMarco.
Thank you.
No problem.
And they're the three generations of male misogyny. You've got grandpa who's like, come here. You've got dad who's addicted to sex and porn and ruining his marriage. And then you've got the son who's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
He swung so far to the left that like he's too afraid to be a man because manhood's been questioned in 2022. It's all in this. There's infidelity. There's fucking murder mystery. There's fucking prostitutes fucking the whole hotel. It is so
I'm gonna need to
much
check this out.
Fucking fun.
All right.
Like, it definitely is themed on, like, gender and like what is a role of
yes,
you know, like that.
Oh,
is,
it's feels everywhere.
Like the theme throughout the entire episode,
but it's placed so perfectly.
Oh no,
he knows where not to push too much.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't a big on the first season. The second season, I'm like super into. Audrey Plaza is one of
Aubrey,
is in there,
yeah.
And you know, she's one of my favorites.
Theo
so.
James plays an absolute perfect douche.
Oh, that
absolutely.
Sounds great.
Like
it's fun. It's really good. Yeah.
It's so good. It's like three episodes in, right on HBO right now.
I think
now.
Their episode four just came out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sorry, four. You're nice. Right. Yeah, because it comes out every Sunday.
Two more, I think.
Two or three, I think. Four, maybe.
First season was six episodes only. So
yeah.
I don't know.
You can get it done really quick, and like that's why he builds like each two episodes, three and four back to back. Nothing has been solved. The only thing is my Apple Watch goes off saying my heartbeat's rating beating too fast.
I like that. I like when it like picks up fast and.
Oh, it's not fast though. It's
oh no.
Okay,
it's just fun.
There's a scene where Aubrey Plaza and her husband, they're kind of in a rocky relationship. They're hit and miss. He's a morning sex person. She's a nighttime sex person. Like they're not
yeah.
connecting. And there's a night of partying with the boys, and Theo James's character hooks up with someone else, and he just gets a kiss and loses his mind. But then Aubrey Plaza comes back to the hotel and finds a condom wrapper in the couch and assumes that it's her husband. And he's acting weird because he got a kiss and doesn't know how to tell her. So both of them are assuming a thing, but neither of them are admitting that it's wrong. And it's an hour of that.
Yeah, that's pretty
amazing.
Much the, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's fucking. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, like, I know exactly how he feels. I mean, I've never cheated. I've been a scoundrel, but I've never cheated. And just best of both worlds. And watching that go down where you are assuming someone
right.
and your mind and what it can do to you, he does such a good job. And she does such a good job of like sitting there and vibrating and it coming to, and
that's
you're just
so
like.
Fun.
Audrey Plaza is like, I think, underappreciative actress. And I don't know if anyone's seen Emily the Criminal, but very good movie. You should.
She
was
really good. You know, I saw her in something recently that I didn't like, though. There was, I thought it was going to be really funny. It was like about.
The is it the one where she goes to LA to chase Elizabeth?
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Yeah, where she's like, it's like she works for, like,
Down Under.
She works for, like, no, the one where she works for, Garden, Olive Garden, and then she goes to the, like, Olive Garden retreat.
I've heard about this.
I don't know what movie this is.
And, I wanted it to be really funny. It was with, Annie from Community.
Oh, no, I didn't know this was
and,
a movie, but
yeah,
now I kind of want to watch it.
Don't. It's not good. I thought it was going to be really, really funny, but it was not. It was super disappointing.
Allison Bile.
Allison Bile.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to think that Aubrey was One Note Princess. I really
well, yeah,
did.
Because she does that like angry,
she's the bitch.
Emo bitch.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Scott
Rec.
Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Right? Fucking Scott.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like. That was Aubrey Plaza for me. This, she's now stretched, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, you got some wings.
I like it.
Get on
I'm
it, girl. Like,
I would. Yeah. Emily the Criminal, too, I'd say check out. It's very, very good. If you like a nice little like con artist film.
You know I do.
Yep.
Especially with my name in it.
And
oh, yeah.
She's really pretty. Also, Killer Sally.
Oh,
I watched
Killer Sally, too.
That's
love it.
Funny.
We all watch the same thing.
That's really funny.
We don't do that here, ladies and gentlemen. We don't be like, we should all talk about a thing we've watched together. We just surprise
well,
each other.
Well, I think
other.
That was like a random watch for me. Because
that's
like,
a fucking Tiger King.
Tiger King.
That's in the same genre.
Bodybuilding is like something.
It's
like,
the thing for you.
Yeah, like it's a thing I'm into and interested in. Not that I do it, but like I like working out and stuff.
Fun
but
fact,
you blew your pec like every other guy out there.
Bodybuilding. I used to do fitness competition.
Really?
And the Killer Sally thing was a good time for me because I promised myself I would revisit bodybuilding when I was in Masters.
Yeah.
And that's this year. I'm turning 35 this year. So I'm actually just starting to like dip my toe back into like some of the diet cycles and things like that to see if I can do it without hating myself and my life.
You
so
can't do what they do without fucking going nuts.
I was never Sally. I never competed in figure. I competed in fitness. So I competed in like I was still muscly, but it was like. It was
like
bikini.
CrossFit
bikini.
Kind of stuff.
It's bikini muscly. It's
okay.
Not like,
were you doing
not like
super like sweeps and stuff like clean like
so
clean
no,
and jerks?
Like, so fitness jerks, not fitness competitions, not like so not like the ones where she's doing where she's like showing how like all her bicep curls.
Yeah,
it's like the ones it's like physique.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
where
I'm
you're
saying.
Like on stage, you just like do your poses.
I
and
see,
you're,
see,
like,
see,
it's
see.
A soft pose.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
not. It's not a straight Arnold.
Right,
right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's a light.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm saying that. I've never done this
from the side and in my big heels and my little bikini, right? You show them your triceps. You show them your butt.
That's crazy.
And like, yeah, and so it was actually the timing was really good because I was pulling out some of my old training stuff and I'd like angrily eating chicken and mustard and being like, "Am I ready for this to be my life for like 2 years straight?"
I want to learn from you.
And I was like, "Do I murder
She's
my?"
She's smart.
Husband?
She knows her shit. I talked to her about some stuff before.
And,
I'm at the gym walking 3 or 4 times a week, or trying to. Nice. Just moving. Just a half. I'm doing a half an hour a day because Joe Rogan, a fucking asshole. But Joe Rogan says half an hour, and I'm like, "Okay, man.
Yeah,
if this is true.
30 minutes of activity.
I walk uphill, do a little bit of running. Yeah. So I'm just trying to keep the body." Going, like unlike Killer Sally, who wanted to take out her husband's body by shooting him in the face with a shotgun.
Can we do a quick like?
Yes, yeah.
Can we
yeah,
do
you
a
go
quick
first,
round
go first,
table?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, guilty or not guilty? I think of second degree murder.
Sure,
right?
She
was convicted of second degree murder. So
by the law's book,
by
yes.
Do we think guilty, not guilty of second degree murder?
All right. Interesting, because I went into it and I was like, man, I feel bad for Sally. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, fucking Sally's crazy. And at the end of it, I was like, I think Sally got the raw end of a deal. I think that because of her physique and because of the time it being so rare, that was definitely used against her. In regards, though, to what she'd gone through, I am not a battered woman. I am not going to step into that arena and spout off. I am going to say, based on the crime scene evidence, that walking back to reload the gun and shoot him in the face was a little excessive. I'm not saying that he didn't warrant being shot. I'm just saying a shot to the face doesn't bode well in court.
Double tap.
Hey, listen, that's what they teach you, and I get it. But so in the end, I think that she should have been. I think she shouldn't have got 25 years.
Yeah,
I think
that's
an incredibly long sentence for defense. I think they played the muscular woman too much because they used the videos.
Yeah.
Like, they constantly used those lifting videos to be like, well, if she can do that. And I was like, have you seen the size of Ray? Ray's
right.
5 of these guys
she's
lifting.
She's still half a size of him. Yeah. I thought there was one line that really got my blood boiling, and it was where the prosecutor said that's an aggressive woman or someone who's violent can't be a battered woman. And I wanted to like reach through the screen and like shake him, and I'm like, I'll show you what a woman who batters looks like. but like I just thought, like, just because you're scared, like, the what it boils down to is he's saying, because you're scary, you can't be scared, right?
That's bullshit.
And that's such bullshit, because like she was scary, but like not nearly as scary as him.
Yeah.
And so like
she wasn't on 5 rounds
different
of
kinds
roids.
Of
yeah,
she was
yeah,
just
yeah.
on 2. No.
But like he was on Listerol and Diana, like the main 5.
Also, there was proof that she was beaten before by him.
Yeah, like, and the fact that her kids were basically just like were basically just like he's dead now, right? Like we're done dealing with this. I don't know. I mean, obviously.
Well, like that was the thing. They didn't let the son talk.
Remember he said he was really young.
Yeah, he was really young, but they didn't. He was like,
speaking of that,
he was like, I had things to say.
My God, I felt bad for that kid.
Yeah.
5 tours in Afghanistan, all that violence growing up. Yeah. Like, he's a broken.
And he kind of said that. Like,
he did, yeah.
He was like, I'm, you know.
He has the 1,000-yard stare from being downrange.
Yeah.
As they say,
well, it's
right?
funny because like, when they first talk to him, he's so calm and content. And I'm like, man, this guy's like pretty chill. You know,
he does
like,
this thing where he's like, my mom.
Yeah.
And then. And it's almost bordering on like he's about to break.
The whole time I just wanted to like hug him.
Yeah, no, I felt she even said, she's like, I'm not what did she say? I'm not a high-end woman. I'm paraphrasing here, but she was like, I'm not elaborate. Like, I'm not, like, she even knew that she was like, this is we're going way off of the reserve here with who you think I am and what you think I'm capable of.
Yeah.
And but yeah, like, so the I know when I say the gunshot, it probably irks some people, but like, I just like that didn't bode well for her.
It didn't.
Looking over through all of
although
the things,
I will say, like, I've never been in a long term abusive situation, but just from like having been even just little bits, if I all of a sudden thought I had the opportunity or the upper hand to like end something and end it for good, like I'll probably end up in jail. Like I would for sure shoot somebody twice.
I don't think any less of her for shooting him twice.
No.
I'm just saying a court of law, that does like you've got a that's a big mountain to get over to prove why.
Yes,
I think you, like a guy that I don't know. It's just like that size alone.
Yeah,
like despite how big you are,
it's also I'd say it's impossible to understand if you've never been in that situation. Like if you've never been so scared of a person and like you know what they're capable of and how much they
totally,
can hurt you.
Totally.
Well, I think that muscle doesn't mean strength.
No, no, like, I've had the shit beat out of me by skinny guys.
Like, yeah, that's the like, thing. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Muscles mean nothing. It's just like
it's power,
glamour muscles.
It's power and control. Yeah. Right?
Shauna would put me in a Boston crab. I'd cry until Monday.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like yeah. it just doesn't matter. It's you know,
yeah.
Yeah, you can be the smallest person and like yeah.
It's about physics.
Like,
it's not about mass.
But yeah. Also, it's also about abuse. Like if you're in an abusive relationship, which she clearly was, right? And you could see how much she loved him and how it was
right.
So
yeah, exactly.
Like circular. So
yeah.
She like your mentality is not normal in that situation, right? You're not
right.
Thinking clearly. You're thinking in a very different way.
Enraged passion for
yeah.
Sure. And like. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't fault somebody for wanting to shoot the abuser twice. I'm just like, huh.
It definitely
how do I,
didn't,
how
yeah.
do I reconcile
it definitely
with this
didn't go
the,
well for
yeah.
her in the
yeah.
end. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I totally think like 10 years, good behavior out in six.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
something, I know.
Like no violent, like really no violent history.
Well,
also, well, like no real, like
right.
real
oh, I think
danger
they used
to the public.
Her too
they did
because
she had
yeah.
like beaten people up
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
She had an anger issue.
Yeah.
Although, did you guys notice? Shauna pointed this out. Did you notice that every time they went to like clips of her and she was doing her man lifting videos, I always was like, "Is this where the porn starts?" Because it clipped out of
oh,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Netflix style documentary,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then went to VHS tapes
yeah.
from the 80s, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
I have to say,
yeah.
that's a kink that I did not know existed, and I love it. I love it so much. Like the fact that there's men out there who are like, "I want to go get wrestled by a really strong woman." Like that just for some
that's
reason,
so funny.
It just
yeah.
seems so wholesome. I love it.
It feels like something from like. A movie, you know, like doesn't feel real.
And it's not a dark kink.
Yeah.
No, it's just
it's
like,
yeah.
it's like pick me up and throw me over your shoulder and take me to bed and put
yeah.
me in a headlock. Like,
yeah.
I love it.
I think
it.
They touched
I
on this a little bit in She-Hulk.
They're called schmoes.
Yeah, schmoes.
Is the term.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
yeah.
But
I
they did
she,
touch it on
yeah.
She-Hulk.
Yeah.
She-Hulk.
Yeah.
She-Hulk.
Yeah. yeah, it's hot. I love it. I want it too.
So yeah, those are my two. I watch them both. I love the Netflix doc. The style of doc that
yeah.
Netflix commands is so good.
Did you watch the Pepsi one yet?
Not yet, but I knew that story. As soon as
I
saw it, I
did
was
too.
Like,
yeah.
Have you heard about this?
No.
So when Pepsi did Pepsi points as a kid, my dad
oh,
owned
yeah,
a food
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
So I used to get all of the catalog
oh, yeah.
as like advertising shit.
Yeah.
And then my dad would be like, here's the entire Pepsi catalog. So like, I was a spoiled kid.
Yeah.
Anyways, on the commercial, it said 7 million Pepsi points for an F-14 fighter.
Like the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know if you guys. No one can see me, but I just did like wings out. Like,
no terms and conditions. Just 7 million points. So a kid found an investor. They bought the amount of Pepsi to get the amount of points, and said, "Pepsi, you owe me a plane."
Did he get a plane?
And that's what the
doc
is
about. I guess don't tell me. I'll go watch it.
I as a kid, I saw that commercial, and I was probably maybe like 5 or 6 or something. I don't know how old I was at the time. I think something like that. But I remember thinking, "Wow." I could get a plane. That's probably really hard to get that many points, but I thought that was real.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it worked in a sense, that product placement or whatever.
Yeah, no, it really did. I had the snowsuit that was offered in the catalog, and I had a bunch of other shit, too. I'm just
how many points for Britney Spears?
Yeah, right.
Like pre-shaved head or post-shaved head? I feel the value's gone down since the shaving of the head.
I feel like
open
gone.
Market.
Either way, I'll take what I can get. I don't want Kendall Jenner though.
No.
No. What didn't she do a Pepsi commercial?
They
she
all
did.
Cindy Crawford, Michael.
Yeah,
oh.
Everybody had
Michael
a Pepsi.
J. Fox.
Yeah.
Like they actually touch on that. Like they
Pepsi
they,
when you got a Pepsi spot or a Got Milk spot, yeah. there was a bunch in the 90s that really launched your career.
Because Coke was winning. The soda wars, and like that's why Pepsi started like doing different things.
The Pepsi taste test, the
Pepsi
challenge.
I remember the Pepsi challenge.
They do the Pepsi.
Yeah.
If you watch all 4 episodes of the series, they do the Pepsi taste test with each person they interview.
Let me close this out because we're running long.
Yep.
So, if you haven't watched it yet, you should watch the Santa Claus. That's my year.
So good.
Right, Scott Calvin.
Yeah.
Right.
It's too bad Tim Allen sucks so bad.
It's taken me a million years to make this hot cocoa or whatever she says.
She's right? 10,000 years.
10,000 years to
it.
Perfect it. It's just I think the whole stepdad real dad aspect plays big with me.
Yeah.
I like Judge Reinhold, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, he's playing with our emotions. And I just the whole aspect of Bad Christmas with a dad in some way really plays with me.
The CD player with the cookie.
Can I have chocolate milk? We're out of that too. Well, plain milk's fine. Right?
Oh, I forgot. Like, that's a funny line. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like just all that shit. Or like when they're having lunch. And Peter Sellers is his boss. It's Peter Sellers, I think. Yeah,
everyone
Peter,
else orders like salad and stuff.
And then the guy's like, finished? He's like just scooping out all
the
fudge.
Ice cream. Right.
So yeah, it's a great take. Who doesn't want to be Santa?
Sting,
who doesn't want their
Scott.
Dad to be Bee Sting? It's a big bee.
And then there arose such a ladder.
Yeah.
The arose such a ladder company.
Yes.
Yes. So good. Oh, so good.
Or like when they pimp out Santa and he was like, Santa would never do that.
Oh,
and it's like, yeah, he actually knows where Claus is from. So yeah, Tim Allen, the kid who plays Bernard. He was also in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
He
was
also in
Berkowitz. That's a killer.
Gold member or The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah.
He's Molly.
Yeah, that's right. Molly. And who else is in it? Judge Reinhold, basically. And a bunch of other like. Cameo
it's a really good
actors.
One.
It's a good one. Yeah, I forget how much I like that one. Was a very like I saw it in theaters as a kid.
Two is good. Enjoyable. I'm gonna watch three. We'll see
three's
what happens.
Bad.
Three's
mediocre,
bad.
Yeah.
Three's bad.
Four's
two,
out.
Yeah. Four. Well, is like there
it's,
three?
It's a series.
Did I miss three?
There's a series that just came out on Disney.
Yeah, I know. But is there a three that I didn't know about?
There's three in total. And then
two movies and a series.
Apparently, there's
three movies in a series.
Three
movies.
And a partridge
six,
and
six
a
seasons and a movie. Apparently, there's like a really. Just like Tim Allen, like boomery joke, and the one that just came out where they're like, oh, they're trying to make it a crime to say Merry Christmas or something. And it's like, oh my God, we get it. You're a oppressed middle aged white man. Like,
great.
Republican.
Republican, yeah. Like, come on, bud.
Great.
Yeah, him and Kevin Sorbo are probably really good friends. All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Watch Survivor, watch Bachelor of Paradise, was it?
Two tickets to paradise.
There we go, got it right. Watch.
Dancing with the Stars.
Watch Dancing with the Stars. Watch some Killer Sally. Watch some White Lotus. Watch it all. Tell us what you watch. Hit us up on our voicemail line. It's for requests and comments you want made on the show. It's in our Instagram or Twitter and our Facebook bio. I don't know how much longer it's going to be in our Twitter bio. We'll find out what Captain Musk does with that site for $44 billion. Anyways, there's a link in there. It says leave a voicemail. Hit the link in the bio. Leave a voicemail up to 5 minutes. You can comment on this section. You can comment on any section if you want, for that matter. And then we will play those on future shows. And then we will debate you without you being able to say anything, because that's how you win. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We'll save that new stuff I was talking about earlier for the end of the show if there's time. If there's not, sorry, listener. We have major things to talk about. So first up on the docket for Real Talk this week is Needle Drops. They've done a soundtrack episode where we put their own soundtracks, but we rarely talk about how music and film play so well together. So I wanted to go favorite Needle Drop in a Christmas movie. I'll go first to kind of set the tone. There's two. They're from the same movie. They're half the song. But God fucking damn it, do they do well. And I can't pick one, so I'll just tell you both. Run, Run, Rudolph, the setup from Home Alone when they're all getting in the van to get to the airport. And they're running through the airport. My first experience in an airport, like, it just brought me back to that, right? Like, getting to the flight, you've got a ton of family with you, flying at Christmas time. It's just so perfectly placed. Run, Run, Rudolph, right? And they're running away from Kevin. Like, they're running away from, like, there's so much meta. In that scene with Hughes.
That one was also mine.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Okay.
It's very memorable.
It's so memorable. Time that in, or add that in with, bo 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 bo, right?
Yeah,
the morning after, he's shaving. moment. But then it carries into him, like, coupon shopping, and then having that conversation with the chick. She's like, are you old enough to be here?
Ma'am.
Like, let me tell you. Both of those songs are so classic Christmas, and they're used in such immature, funny, silly, good time ways that they just sit with me. Like, when I hear White Christmas, I go to Kevin and Aftershave.
Yep.
When I hear Run, Run, Rudolph, I'm like,
you're
whenever
in
it's
airport.
In the mall. Yeah,
yeah,
you're at
that
you're
one's
just,
particularly.
Like, they're just, and I'm like, fuck you, Hughes. You're too damn, like, I know you're dead and I can't speak ill of you, but fuck, those were well placed.
I always think of this, like, as soon as that song ends, it shows them on the plane and they're all like the, the parents are in first class, and the like uncle and aunt, he's like, I think these are real silver, and they start pocketing the plane. Put them in your purse. Put them in your purse. And then like, there's some great lines from Home Alone. Home Alone's one of those staples in my head, growing up.
It is.
And there's just like, if it makes you feel any better, I forgot my reading glasses.
Oh my god.
Bud, are you home, bud?
Yep. Bud, I'm going through your
stuff.
You better come out and pound me.
Okay, so those are mine. Quick, simple, easy. They're lots of fun. They bring back a lot of memories. And they're fucking classic. Like Bing Crosby, White Christmas, right? Like, challenge me. Change my mind, Emily.
Okay. Well, it's the middle of the night. You've had a really, really stressful year. You're really looking forward to your Christmas bonus. You can't get rid of your family, but you know, you're quiet for the first time in like a week.
Oh, I know what you're doing. Yeah.
And
bring it back. Bring it back.
And you're just dreaming about that pool that you put the deposit,
the pristine,
down payment
clear
on.
Pool.
Yeah, that's going to be in your backyard. And you stare out the window, and suddenly, instead of the Christmas wintry scene, you hear "Melakaliki Moka is a thing we say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day."
That's the first time I ever heard that song.
And then the hot girl who was trying to sell you lingerie, is naked in your pool, and you're pressing your nose up against the window, and obviously you're Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation.
It's such a good one.
It's such a weird Christmas tune too.
It's such a weird Christmas song.
It's got the
ukulele.
Thank you.
The whole song is weird. The whole scene is weird. Like poor Clark is just like having the worst Christmas, and
it's like the soundtrack in his mind at the time. Right? Like that's what's playing as he's imagining a pool.
That's also one of my favorite themes they do in each of the movies, where he has like
the hot girl from Family Vacation.
They always like, he's driving and they like driving next to each other.
Yeah,
and, like, you know, like I love that little like through line they do in each one.
Absolutely,
I always
so
confuse
funny.
The hot pool scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High with,
oh, with
the
that
pool
one?
Scene.
Yeah, she's wearing a red bikini.
Yeah, they're both red, but it's not the same girl.
No,
it's not
no,
Winnie
yeah.
from Wonder Years.
Yeah.
So funny, and it's just perfect, and like when they pan to him from the like made up pool scene, and his like nose is smushed against the window
because he's trying to get closer. Because
he's like,
woman. Yeah.
And it's so funny. It's his whole family, and then just inexplicably the like random hot girl there. Yeah,
it's a fun bouncy tune.
It is
too,
yeah.
Right? It elevates the whole entire scenario.
It's the island greeting that we send to you. Yeah. So anyway, that's it for me.
All right.
Definitely.
Fair enough. All right. Did you have a backup?
I didn't have a backup. That was Run Rudolph was the
there
one.
There you go.
I had like a needle drop for that. Like that was like the one that I think about all the time. As soon as you said it, I was like, that's the only one that like comes to mind right away.
We share the same judgmental film mind.
It was like a. It's a very like that's a Home Alone was a VHS I got for Christmas when I was 5, and it was one of those movies I got that and Batman Returns on VHS. My parents did not know how violent Batman Returns was, and I watched it a bunch, and then one day they came down because I watched Home Alone and I was watching Batman Returns. I was watching on repeat because I, you know, got them, and they saw the penguin bite
the fish head
or whatever, the nose of the guy, and they were like, and they hid the VHS from me for like a year because they thought I was too young.
They thought you were going to turn it.
But they thought it was a Christmas movie as well because they were like Batman and like they,
Christopher Walken
with a
snowball.
They like because there's Christmas in the beginning and stuff, so they saw like the first 5 minutes and assumed it was like Christmassy.
This will be
downtown
fun.
Gotham.
Yeah,
so, it's fun.
Yeah,
you know.
That's pretty good.
All right. Well, so it's 2-1. Emily, you have to vote for one of ours.
I have to vote for one of. Wait.
No, I guess we have to. Yeah, if we're gonna do this, yeah. It's a runoff. It's a Georgia runoff.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. That leaves more room to talk about next on the docket. So moving along, like I said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Grinch three ways. We have
Boris Karloff.
Boris Karloff. Thank you.
Yeah.
Natasha and Boris. And watch me. I can't remember the line. So you've got Boris Karloff, your original Grinch, your CBC Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock, Grinch is on.
Yep.
Right? Never fails. And then plays through the holidays because
it's on right before Charlie Brown Christmas.
Right,
Christmas
exactly. With Pigpen walking around being all smelly and shit.
Yeah.
And then the Mickey Christmas Carol 2 was, I think, that
That's
slot.
A good one.
Like
yeah.
that.
Frosty,
that...
Frosty Returns.
Yeah.
Rudolph.
The original Rudolph, the animation
yeah.
one.
Yeah. yeah. The Claymation. Claymation. Yeah.
The total Claymation. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Or Feltmation. I don't know.
yeah.
Whatever it was at the time. But, and then you, and then they decided, well, no, we're not just going to have an original. Let's remake The Grinch. And this was well before we all hated remakes. And they did it with Jim Carrey because
I think Dr. Seuss had a big like.
They
moment.
Had like
he
yeah,
did,
they
yeah.
had Cat in the Hat.
And Horton Hears a Who, yeah, and the, yeah. and the Grinch.
Yep.
It all kind of, and I mean, that,
I think the Grinch started it.
I fairly
made a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. The Grinch did, and then Cat in the Hat came out the following Christmas.
Mike
I think.
Myers.
Yeah.
Bad movie.
Bad movie.
Very bad movie. But nonetheless, you had Jim Carrey who like took one two dimensional off the screen and brought it into this. Like loud, vibrant, comedic character who had all the same beats from the first film.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But like does funny things that are outside of the story. And then you go back to animation with
Cumberbatch. Yeah.
Cumberbun. And it's back to roots. It's still funny. It's a really great animation style. Like I think out of all of the animation styles outside of Pixar, whoever made that, and I don't know what it is about it, but that style, I don't like the clay rounded part. I like more of an old school animation, I guess.
Yeah, it feels nice. It feels like a harken back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's
like,
not, it's not too bad. Yeah.
And then in an extended way, because the Boris Karloff version is only half an hour. And so the Benedict Cumberbatch one is nice because it gives you a full length feature film.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the familiarity of the character.
What
the
it
story.
Adds doesn't take away from the original.
Right. Yeah. And I am going to go right out front and say I'm going to be biased here because I hate Jim Carrey. I know. I feel like his physicality and his acting and his facial expressions are just way over the top, but like they're the same every time.
So
too.
Was the 90s though.
Yeah.
yeah, and I get distracted by like what he is
okay.
doing
okay.
smoking.
And it pulls me away from
may I
like,
ask you a few questions
it pulls me away from like the actual movie. So I mean The Mask maybe was really good, and then everything after that has
really?
Just felt like
really
everything Able after that's
guy.
Just felt like The Mask to me.
I will yeah okay point
and
yeah
so I didn't feel like The Grinch. I didn't feel like I was watching The Grinch. I felt like I was watching Jim Carrey, and I don't like Jim Carrey, so I didn't like that version of The Grinch.
Okay. Which one is your...
Oh, my goodness.
Which one's your bestie?
My bestie's the original. Okay. Absolutely through and through. We have the book growing up. We were a big Dr. Seuss household. And
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue
fish. Exactly. And my mom is obsessed with Dr. Seuss. And my kids, we're a big Dr. Seuss household. And so we've read, and I don't know if many of our listeners have read a lot of Dr. Seuss, but Dr. Seuss books
are... Short books, guys.
No,
short.
No, they are long. Really, really long.
Well, okay, well, yeah.
For kids' books.
For kids' books, yes.
Really long for kids' books. And
averaging pages, yes.
Yeah, and also can be really difficult to read sometimes because they are weird sounds and in a really fun cadence. But if you've read them enough times, they sort of take on this life of their own.
I would not eat them in a boat.
Exactly.
I would not eat them in a moat.
With a goat. I would not eat them on a plane. I would not eat them on a train. Yeah, and so they are really long for kids' books, but they're really, really, really enjoyable. And there's some really weird ones. Like, there's the ones you've heard of, but then there's all these other... There's like
there's
the back alley Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, like
there
the
is,
pale green pants with no one inside them.
Yeah,
and like
so
there once
many.
Was a little lady named Mrs. McCabe who had 23 sons and she named them all Dave. There's like...
I do know that one, actually.
Yeah, yeah, and so lots of really good ones. And so the Boris Karloff, it's not word for word the book, but it's very close.
It's pretty.
Yeah. And so it gives me like warm fuzzies from childhood. Sure.
Okay, fair enough. I get it. I'll go next on this one. I'll go to bat for Mr. Carrey. While I understand that, I love a good physical comic. And with what he did, the mailroom scene, you get jury duty, right? Like, you get a fucking pink slip, you get a lump of coal. Like, it's those things, or when he wraps up Cindy Lou Who and he was like, can you put your finger here? Right? Like, it's the quickness that comes from Carrey that blows my mind. And it's what happens when you unleash that on a set. And everybody says he's a fucking distraction to work with. Like, you can't be in a room with that man. Maybe now you can. But when he was getting paid $30 million a fucking movie, he had three number ones in the theater at the same time one year. How much fucking work is that?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Especially when it's that big. Like when you're, it's one thing if you're like Nick Cage and your acting is like this. You're like, whereas like Jim Carrey, like he probably burns like 3,000 calories a second just like breathing. Because like a breath is like.
And unhinging his jaw probably takes muscles we don't even know exist. Like, so like watching, I'm okay. Like the classic is the classic, right? Yep. It is. As soon as I hear it in the other room, I'm like, okay, I could be in the middle of heart surgery and say, fuck it. I'm going to watch The Grinch. Right?
I'm not that patient.
Well, I'll bring him a heart.
Wake me up. Wait, just wake them up and be like, we got to watch The Grinch.
Comatose.
Come back to this.
But yeah, I love how he reinvented it and made it his own. I love the bombastic nature because it, the funniness that you're getting from him, he's also being incredibly dark and incredibly creepy and incredibly weird at the same time. Like when he looks back at Cindy Lou and he's like, you're not packaged properly. And I'm like, you, how dare you speak that way to a child? Never mind a fucking Whoville, Whovian. So sorry, Whovillians. I don't know what to call you. But that kind of stuff, the Grinch on TV was just a grumpy old Grinch. This Grinch was animated and live and came to life a little bit more. Had more notes. So I'm Jim Carrey, then I'm Boris, then I'm Copperpot. Ian?
Boris? I forgot I actually watched the Jim Carrey one, and it's because I blocked it out because it was scary. Like, he was, like, so terrifying.
I know.
Like, he's not, he doesn't
Tim Burton the shit out of it without Tim Burton.
He doesn't look good. He looks too accurate, but that's not something I want to see.
The Grinch is always kind of scary. I think the original even scared my kids when they were little.
Same. Like,
it scared my mom. I remember her telling me that story.
But I think that story serves better as a 30-minute little cartoon as opposed to
because he's not scary for that long, right?
Well, it doesn't need to be that
Diamond.
Long.
Bring her right here. Diamond. Just, sorry to cut you off there, but Diamond just woke up from her slumber and she's...
Oh, hi.
Hello, sweetie. Anyways, back to it, sorry.
It's
straight to me, that's right.
Boris, Cumberbatch, Jim Carrey. Like, the Jim Carrey one, I just disliked it. The fact I forgot I even watched it was, like, not a movie for me.
If people haven't seen the Cumberbatch version, honestly, it's quite good. My kids really like it, or they really liked it last year, so when they were sort of, like, 8 and 10. And I think it's worth a watch, for sure.
Do 8 and 10-year-olds still, like, stories before bed?
We read, like... Not like a storybook story. Like, we read a book. We read chapters of whatever book.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay. Because I was going to be like, I have the Bernstein Bears because it's not the Steins.
Yeah. Well,
before 2012, maybe, but after
the whole
Mandela.
The Mandela effect.
We have a whole bunch of Bernstein Bears books. Yeah. Right. But yeah, we do read stories, but we're reading actually Harry Potter right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're on the Half Blood Prince.
Hell yeah.
You want your children to read properly. Got it. Okay. Well, yeah. There. I mean, two Boris and in one gym. I reignited my love for it when I started to look at makeup more and Rick Baker and the work that Rick Baker's done, like the man in Hollywood for special effects makeup. And I saw the stuff when I was in when I went down to Universal Studios. I saw the movie makeup theater that they have there and stuff, and I just like I guess I appreciate when an actor's got to do 16 hours in that chair before they're even able to do 3 minutes of
That's
set
true.
Time, right? Like, so that kind of stuff draws me to it as well too. It's that application of filmmaking that goes beyond the animated, you know, sitting in front of a computer. So that's
what's
just...
harder, put a makeup on or sitting down and animating a full.
We'll talk after.
I don't want to do either.
Yeah, so. Yeah, same.
Don't at me.
All right, so there you go. You got Grinch three ways, and it came up with two large orders of Boris and a medium order of Jim. And that's how we like to end it. So, okay. All right, last segment here. It's good. We're going good on time here because I want to get those. We got a fuck James Cameron conversation coming, ladies and gentlemen. And we also have a are you Marvel fatigued conversation coming. So back to it, though. Last item on the docket, advent calendars right around the corner, right? Who doesn't love a good advent calendar? Something to look forward to at the end of the day. You're like, ooh, it's December 2nd. What shitty chocolate do I get that has no flavor today? Advent calendars, though, have taken on a whole new form and function over the years. I know we were talking before the show. Emily, what are the ones that you have well, you like, but you can't have.
Oh, that's what I was saying. There's cheese advent calendars, and yeah, there's like wine and beer advent calendars,
yeah,
which I would love to have, but I can't have either because I am lactose intolerant and an alcoholic. So there's no cheese to prevent the farts, and there's no wine to prevent the abandoning my family and like running away to dive with sharks. And,
wow, you know, meet a whole different person.
I'd be caught. There's people like... Alcohol Emily was not that far in the past. There's people listening to this podcast who are like, oh man, yeah, like bring her back. That was fun.
Yeah, you might sympathize with this. There's drunk Michael who pours a couple glasses or a couple shots of vodka before bed to just, you know, pass out. And then there's sober Michael who forgets drunk Michael came out to play. And sober Michael thinks it's water. So then sober Michael goes to grab for the glass and slam it back, but it's just grain alcohol.
Right.
At 9 in the morning, and I'm like, fucking drunk Michael.
Drunk Emily.
Strikes again.
Drunk Emily makes the plans for the next day where someone's texting me, be like, okay, are you ready to go? And I'm like, wait, go where? And there's like someone ready with like a tour van, and we're supposed to be like on the road to Minneapolis or something because I joined.
Or you were like, I'll make everyone brunch.
I joined a stunt crew or something like that. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, but anyway, so yeah, advent calendars are a thing. They're part of the whole chocolate binging of Christmas time, and there are a lot of these, and I thought of this. I thought I was original. I was like, well, let's take a movie, turn it into an advent calendar so that instead of chocolate, you get things or ideas or experiences from the film, right? Not that far off. If we can make like a Scotch advent calendar, I think we could maybe do like a Winnipeg advent calendar, right? Like, I don't know, yeah, open up December 14th and it's like, go down and pick up needles on Higgins or I don't know, whatever, yeah, right? Something incredibly, get pierogies at a church on Sunday, right? Yeah. Like some sort of Winnipeg shit. Anyways, so point of this is what movie and or Christmas movie would you like to see turned into an advent calendar? Ian, you haven't gone first yet, so.
I have two. I've been doing a Kubrick rewatch.
A
Christmas
movie.
Oh
my God.
So I've been rewatching a bunch of Kubrick movies.
Oh my God, please be Eyes Wide Shut.
So for my Christmas movie, it's Eyes Wide Shut.
Because it takes place at Christmas?
It takes place at Christmas.
Jeez.
Okay,
all right. You get a mask. You get a cloak.
Does a dirty Russian grandpa give it to me?
No. Does that happen?
That's who he buys the fucking costume from.
Oh,
remember
the dirty Russian grandpa.
Lily Sobieski was
the dad.
The dad,
sorry,
yes, sorry, not
sorry,
a grandpa.
Grandpa. I was like, what?
Yeah, my bad,
grandpa?
My bad. Sorry, I didn't get the right right.
There's
parents.
An Illuminati. No kidding.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It's one of those movies that I fucking love after rewatching. Like, I've seen it before, but it's like, you know, rewatching all of Kubrick's lately, I'm like, fuck, that movie's so good. And it's so fucked. But
it's
also
got him murdered if you believe the conspiracy.
Well, it's also, it's a Christmas movie. It's as much of a Christmas movie as Die Hard's Christmas movie. And,
oh.
Yeah, it's one of those for me. Anyway,
we could avoid that today.
But if I was actually like in the scheme of Kubrick, The Shining is a very like paced out to be an advent calendar for how it is.
That's true, yeah.
Oh my God, each scene is a day.
Yeah, you know, essentially, like, we kind
of
like...
The Fall of Jack.
It. Yeah. So we could kind of play like that way, I think. And I think you could have little figurines of like the twins, the ghost woman, you know, like the guy getting a blowjob.
The naked lady in the tub.
The naked lady in the tub.
Maybe you can just do, like a little, like a hedge maze. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like little, that's your advent calendar is the hedge maze.
Oh, nice.
I didn't even think of that. You came up with that.
Well,
so.
Kind of.
So you got to get into the hedge maze to open up a door to then get something.
No, thank you. I'll just skip Christmas this year. That's fine.
Okay. Well, like, when does the axe come into the equation? What day is the axe?
Probably like day 24.
Else does Santa get into the house? Wait, just...
Yeah, it's true. Because 5 feels like, you know, frozen Jack.
Like, do you get a bartender for an evening to just have a one-way conversation
with? I think bartender is like 23 or something. Like,
okay, yeah, closer to the holidays to get you through, right? Yeah.
If only Christmas should be in that movie, but it doesn't hit.
Like, well, it's so much snow.
There's so much snow.
It takes place during the off-season.
Yeah.
But the off-season there is... the wintertime, which is weird because it's a summer. So it is at wintertime. So essentially could exist around Christmas. Yeah, they missed the plot.
They missed the plot.
They could have had a tree.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Jack don't like Christmas.
It's Kubrick.
does Lou Gossip Jr. show up and be like, hello? Danny.
I forgot. Yeah, actually.
Danny.
Danny's such a little part of that movie, in my opinion, that like, I always forget he's actually...
That's why they made the second one, because they're like, we need
Dr. Sleep is so good. Everyone
it is
should
so
watch it.
Good.
And everyone should watch the director's cut.
Really?
Yeah. Extra.
Who directed it?
Mike Flanagan.
You're fucking kidding me. That's Mike Flanagan?
That's Mike Flanagan.
That's why it's so good.
It's so fucking good. The director's cut is 30 minutes more footage, a three-hour film. It's very good. The regular is 2:30. Yep.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. Like, do you get Jack in different forms?
Like normal.
Oh, I feel
medium.
Like you probably. I feel
fucked.
Like
happy to wake up and eat some eggs.
I just feel like you have like little figurines of each like, thing that happens to them throughout like each day.
So you want some tokens. You don't
I
want.
I feel like tokens. All right. I feel like that's how it works.
You can tell where I'm going with mine.
Yeah. I was kind of like I imagine more... mine like a little like, okay. a little toys as you get them.
Let me bring up mine here and then Emily can close this out. So yeah, go nuts. So I picked this, and I feel that this is a Christmas movie because Christmas is taking place in the film, but not in the
also,
way.
It didn't have to be a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
so.
It didn't have to be. But like, I like arguing this because now that Die Hard is done, you know, while he pisses, we'll ask this question before I continue. Does it change for you? Do people argue you into, yes, Die Hard's a Christmas movie, or no, Die Hard's a Christmas movie? Like, does it change season to season, or do you stand by one or the other?
I have never not thought of Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
Okay.
But I can see it from both sides. Generally,
this is the yearly tradition. We're gonna bring this up each year.
Yeah.
As long as the show goes, and we're gonna see how much we waver.
I don't waver on that. To be honest, I find most movies that, like, even if they have a little bit of Christmas in them, I tend to think of them as a Christmas movie. And I think because my Christmas fatigue is so real when it's not Christmas time. And so, like, when it's Christmas, I am, like, 100% jolly as fuck. Like, I'm all Christmas music all the time, like, Deck the Halls and, like, Mistletoe.
Some Michael Bublé playing in the
background. Yeah, absolutely. Like... Yeah. Yeah, Mariah Carey's got nothing on me. But that's only the month of December. And then after that, like outside of that, like the only reason I can muster up that much like Christmas spirit.
Because it's a window.
It's because it's a month of being like just the Christmassiest motherfucker alive. But outside of that, I have no tolerance for Christmas music or Christmas things. And so any movie with Christmas stuff to me is a Christmas movie.
Okay, fair enough. We're starting a yearly tradition here now. We avoided talking about it in the past because I think it's just one of those fucking questions that everybody asks.
It's not the diehard thing.
It's the diehard thing. Oh, but hang on here. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna check in each year going forward now and see if we've changed over 364 days. Because some people have good arguments, some people have bad ones, and it depends where you're at. Or are you like her, where she's like, it's a Christmas movie?
I don't care enough about Die Hard to care.
Okay,
that's my issue.
I like knowing that Jonathan McTiernan went to jail after he made that movie more than talking about it being a Christmas
like,
movie.
It's just for me, Die Hard's not my movie. It's fine. It's a fun little romp. I don't care enough if it's Christmas or not. It never really.
You're indifferent.
Like
I'm looking forward
to
it being December so that I can watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, justify. Yeah. Honestly, and I get it.
I like that movie.
All right. And I'm like Ian. I could give a shit about it. I really could. Like
With a Vengeance is so much better. Let's be honest. It is. Die Hard 3 is so good.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with all the riddles and shit.
Yeah. With Sam Jackson.
And Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comes back. Well, yeah. What's his face? His brother.
Yeah.
Such a plot twist.
Very good. Better movie.
Yeah. Very, very good. Hey, Zeus, you know.
Yeah.
Like, father of Apollo?
Yeah.
Lightning bolt, I'm going to stick it up your fucking ass, Jesus.
Much better movie.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I'm indifferent. I mean, I get it. I can see the people's argument, and I also, I'm like, but at the same time, like, nowhere is it plot driving, but hey, whatever. What do I know? Okay, so we paused on that just so that you could hear my thing. Trading Places. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Jonathan Landis, right? So lots of dumb fun.
Yeah.
Right? Originally supposed to be Pryor and Wilder, by the way. Hey?
I think I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, but couldn't do it, so you get Aykroyd and Murphy. And Murphy was on the cusp of bringing big because it was after SNL. I picked like experiences and things. I want some props, right? So I want a $1 bill because that's what the Duke brothers bet on, right? I want some concentrated orange juice. And oranges, because that's what they use to price fix, right? But like commodities, right? So you get like a Christmas ham and a bag of Christmas oranges, like cheeky, not just concentrated orange juice, because who likes concentrated orange juice? Seriously, like social halls like concentrated orange juice for your fucking screwdrivers. A tailor to take you to a fine place, either a dress or a suit, because when they take Eddie Murphy off the street, they give him the whole fucking spiel treatment where they're like, here's your suit and, you know, here's your servants and here's all your money. The nature.
I need to rewatch. It's been a while. Like I've seen Trading Places many times. I think
Trading Spaces is a show on TLC.
TLC, yeah.
It's
a show on TLC with Paige, the beautiful Paige, yep. Hosting.
What else did I have? I had a pocket full of pills and a quart of whiskey, right? Because when they find Lewis Winthorpe, he's just like he's pulling out fucking drugs in one hand and hasn't shaved. Like just the full on rags to riches.
Right.
You get a bit of a fucking $3,000 suit, but you can also be a fucking bum in jail. A New York Stock Exchange Christmas ornament too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I wanted one of those, right? Because I played big into the whole. They tried to fucking fix the market. And I mean, it's inherently Christmas. He dresses up as Santa. It's taking place at Christmas. Jamie Lee rescues Aykroyd for the Christmas days. It centers around giving and kindness because it's really about greed. But at the end, you know, giving and being charitable wins because they bankrupt those fuckers and then they split the money and it's a good time. And it's just, it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Trading Places, right? Like that Jonathan Landis, John Hughes run of films. And it's not too Christmas. Like I very much enjoy A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Alistair Sim, right? I enjoy The Ten Commandments even.
Yeah.
Right? Like all of that stuff is big and operatic and dramatic and
but not super Christmas.
Yeah. And I don't like Christmas Vacation, like super Christmas, but like tropes and awkward moments and jokes about, you know, being with, you know, family you don't want and money you're not getting, like real life scenarios, just like anything else Lampoon does. They just lampoon it up. I guess that's why they're lampooning. But yeah, like I like my dose of Christmas. Just I don't want to walk into Walmart when I'm watching a movie. Is I guess what I'm saying. Scrooged, another one, right? Like those kinds of things. But definitely for an advent calendar. What else? Do I have anything else? Commodities, dollar bill, pocket full of drugs. Oh, life size cutouts of both of them.
You like fold it out.
Yeah. And like you just
shake it.
Like kind of like the Joker behind Ian, right?
Yeah.
Like just like,
because
like the two, right? Like Eddie Murphy. And like they'll have the voice box in the back. I've just realized that. So you walk by them and they'll voice activate and say lines in the movie.
I wonder how big advent calendars you can get. Like I'm sure you get giant ones.
Life size advent calendar?
It's just massive boxes.
Dude, if you have enough money, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You can
pay someone to make me an advent calendar that's like just them delivering gifts to my house
every day.
Like the 12 days of Christmas.
Just Amazon shopping. Just having things like scheduled to come certain days.
Find the best effects creator in Hollywood and the best chef. Put them in a room and you'll get a giant advent calendar. Or something. I don't, whatever. That's my advent calendar.
I love it. Okay, so I also have two because I did a Christmas one and a non-Christmas one. So my Christmas one is based on the best Christmas movie ever made, which is not to be confused with my favorite Christmas movie, but it's way up there. And the best Christmas movie ever made is A Muppet's Christmas Carol. 100% absolutely flawless movie.
I'm Michael Caine.
Absolutely flawless movie. So yeah. So
many people say that.
It is.
It's fun.
Absolutely perfect. And like Michael Caine is a genius. All the time. But
play with Muppets.
He's Muppets and he's like playing it straight AF. Like he is taking it 100% seriously. This is the most dramatic, like serious action, like acting of
actor
of Ebenezer Scrooge. Like they're like, he's gonna do a whole bunch of Muppets, but Ebenezer Scrooge is a very serious character, and he's like, yeah, 100%, it's a very serious movie. So well done.
Well, and that playing the serious man off the Muppets makes it even funnier.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And then like they're all singing their song about what he's like, and they're like, if he became a flavor, you can bet he would be sour. And,
the little
fruits and vegetables.
It's like Gonzo.
So Gonzo's the narrator. Yeah. He's Charles Dickens, and then Rizzo the rat is there, just like as his
Tiny Tim.
It's like as his friend.
Oh right,
just
that's
like,
what it's his friend.
He's like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
here to tell the story, and Rizzo's like, and I'm here for the food. And but yeah,
I forgot how good that movie. I've seen it. It's been so good.
So what's in your calendar? Do we all get a Muppet?
It's literally just Muppets every day.
It's just everybody. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's simple.
Every single day you
that's
get
all
another.
I want. That'd be fucking great.
Yeah, probably like you get the Swedish Chef who's like, hey, berry, berry, sherby, and then like all the little singing things were like,
the cranberry sauce and the turkey and the mushy and the gravy.
And you get like Beaker and everything is like meep, 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 meep.
God bless everyone.
Yeah.
Where's Bears in Politics? Fozzie.
Fozzie Bear. It's the first employer that Ebenezer has when he graduates.
That's
so he goes
right.
to Fozzie Works.
Yeah.
And it's and he's just always like hosting the big parties. That's where he meets the love of his life, right? And like the very sad stuff that happens later. But yeah, so that's my Christmas one, and then
you get a Muppet.
Muppets for everyone. My non-Christmas one is Spinal Tap. And so, Advent calendar is Spinal Tap.
Does it just go to 11?
Basically, well, no, on the 11th of December, you get like a little amp. Yeah, like it goes up to 11. Every Sunday, you get a replacement drummer. you get like a little marquee that you can change the like stuff out, but it's permanently got puppet show at the top. So like whatever you're having, like, you have to put it underneath, so you never get top billing.
Does it say live from Cleveland everywhere?
That's funny. Yeah.
You get little 18-inch replicas of Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, lots of good stuff.
That's such a fucking deep cut.
Yeah.
It's this is Spinal Tap. Oh my God. And like so many people, including myself, I was like, that's a real band, right? No.
No.
Oh yeah.
No, those are actors. Yeah. And that's called a mockumentary for your genre there, big boy. Those are such good picks. All right. If I was to buy one of your advent calendars for a friend, I would definitely buy the Muppets. I think the Muppets fucking win.
That's a people pleaser, right? That is a people pleaser of an advent calendar from the best Christmas movie ever. Like everybody.
Look right next to you. You see what? Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's from a lady in Steinbeck.
Everybody turn. Not yet, but when this podcast is over, turn it off and go watch A Muppet Christmas Carol. You will thank me. It is excellent.
Yeah, it plays. It tracks. It's on Disney, right?
It is.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all on Disney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There is the docket for today. There's some trending topics. We're trying to play with trending topics because we like to trend because that's how you know about us. So some stuff that happened this week, and it's been happening over the course of a few weeks, ever since Avatar was announced to be released. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just giving this air because it's happening. I could give a fuck. I'm going on the record. Probably won't see it. Probably won't see it at all. Like,
really?
I'm serious.
I won't either.
I'll go see it.
It's not out of spite. The first one I did out of spite because I didn't want to be one of the billion people who saw it.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck you, James Cameron. I'm not just seeing it.
I'm not excited by it. I'm just going to go see it.
Okay, but shouldn't we? Like, we're always excited about what we see, right? And I know you're always going to go see it. But for a movie of that expense, okay, we should all be really fucking excited to go see something that's supposed to make $2 billion to make money.
What if it's amazing?
It's not going to be amazing. It's like I will go on the record. If I haven't said this before, I'll admit to it now. The original Avatar is the only movie I have ever fallen asleep in the theater.
Oh, it's not good.
Like
I don't like it.
I went to see it.
It's
I was fine.
Jake Sully, may you fall asleep?
It was the middle of the day. Like it wasn't even like I was tired. It was just, I was so bored that I was like, I'm just going to close my eyes for a sec. And it like, yeah, it was.
No, I rewatched it on a plane recently because I was like, I feel like I need to rewatch this before I go see the
sure.
New one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, one, this isn't as bad as I remember it. It's fine. It's just like a very fine movie. There are aspects of it. I'm like, there's some good action scenes and stuff, but yeah, it's fucking stupid.
It's fucking dumb.
I don't like it. I'm not excited by the trailers. I don't care about this movie. Will I go see it just to be like, is this anything?
Oh, I'm not letting FOMO win.
Oh, FOMO's going to win.
No.
It's just...
You can all come here and talk about it all you want. I am not stepping in a theater to see that.
But what if I come out and say, like, it's legitimately good?
There is nothing good about this story, and I'll tell you why. Because the first story, we've heard a million times.
It's just Ferngully.
Yeah. Man comes to planet, takes planet's resources, doesn't understand
Fucks the lady.
Fucks a lady somehow to get him. Maybe. Oh, whatever.
man fucking ruins everything is my point. We've seen this fucking story before.
I've never heard of the story.
Ian, if you come back and tell me
that it's... Inconvenient Truth, watch it.
If you come back and tell me that it's legitimately good, I will A, eat a hat of your choosing, and B, I'll go see it.
I have many hats. Kidding.
I'll go see it. I won't eat a hat, but I'll go see it.
But I can't imagine.
If you really, if you truthfully, like, you want to fall on that sword on that hill.
Right, you can't fuck with me just because you want me to eat a hat.
No, it's funny, though. Yeah. It's funny.
Or, like, get me to the theater.
My doctor, when I ripped my pec muscle, I went to the doctor, he was like, it's most likely a pec rip, like you ripped your pec, but it could be something else. We'll have to get you an MRI, but, like, you know, it's probably a pec. You know, I'll eat my shoe if it's not. And then I said, I looked at him and I was like, you can't say that. I'm going to make you do it.
I'm going to come in here with a size 12.
Like, you better
Swiss.
Fucking believe I'm going to make you do it.
How do you want your Nike with with mustard or relish?
Of course he was right. And I was like, damn it.
Just like I will be about Avatar 2.
Probably, but you know what? Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I can't imagine. And here's the point of why I brought this up. Grumpy fucking James Cameron. Old guard, right? Old guard, new guard, new ways of filmmaking. Don't yell at your fucking crew. Old ways of filmmaking. Make everybody feel like a piece of shit and be a grumpy old prick.
Dude made Terminator 2.
I know he did. I know he did. I'm not.
I'm not. It's funny. I'm not even here to defend this movie.
Here's my problem.
To be indifferent.
I love old James Cameron.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm like, dude, you're falling. Okay, first of all, you're opening your mouth and you haven't been around for a while.
Dude made Piranha 3.
Did he?
Or two.
Okay.
He made what?
Piranha 2.
Like three double D?
No, not three double D.
It was either three or two.
I think that was Eli Roth that did three double D.
That was a fun movie.
That was a very fun movie. I enjoyed that movie thoroughly.
I just tried to explain that to my kids the other day.
Side note, do you know that the song that Richard Dreyfuss is whistling in the opening credits or the opening sequence is the same song he whistles in Jaws?
No way. That's funny.
That's a true story.
Love it.
And also Velociraptors in Jurassic Park were turtles having sex, sped up and deepened to create the Velociraptor roar.
Oh, interesting.
Food for thought.
Just leave them alone while they have sex, guys. Why do you have to record that shit?
Because it's fucking funny. Back to James Cameron. Okay. So he's got an illustrious career. Abyss, Alien, Terminator.
Yeah, Alien.
Huge fucking hit maker. Great filmmaker. Titanic.
True Lies.
True Lies. Yeah, well, Titanic, I mean...
Titanic.
I came to Titanic.
Yeah,
late.
I came to Titanic.
More than once.
I was fucking 11 and I loved it.
Paint me like one of your rich girls.
I was 11 and I loved it.
It was in the theater with my parents.
It was. No kidding.
Titanic, yeah, successful, groundbreaking cinema. Okay?
I'm going to do this weekend.
But don't come out from not having a hit since Avatar, okay? Avatar.
Just pulling up his IMDb.
Sure, yeah. What? Okay, I'm sure he's had production credits, but we're talking about director here, okay? All things fall on his shoulders. Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't want to keep talking until I know I'm right.
Just seeing what came before Avatar. It's just a bunch of...
But after Avatar, there's been nothing, right?
No, yeah, it's been nothing.
Okay, all right.
He's been planning Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, okay. So... don't come out swinging, calling out streaming services for not being as imaginative as your brain, because you dreamed up Avatar, so you can dream up something better than anybody on any streaming service can do. That's rude, right? Second, okay, don't call out superhero movies right now. We're going to get into that in a second, but don't call out superhero movies, because you know why? That's what people are going to see. That is what's preoccupying the market right now. It's not fair, but it's true. Now, if you want to have that market shift from superhero to underwater world of things where I stick in my head so I can communicate with them, you need that audience. That's the audience that's going to walk into Avatar because it's big, expensive, and tentpole.
How can I? I don't know if you guys pay attention. I don't know if you guys pay attention to box office stuff, but
I do.
How much do you think the new one will make in the opening weekend?
$100 billion.
Okay, Wakanda Forever pulled in...
54,
I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Which if you project that out, 45 days, you'll do half that the second weekend, which it did. It lost its second
weekend
spot.
But let's just play like opening weekend. If Wakanda did 50...
31.
Wow, that low. Okay.
Yeah. I think 85.
I think like 70.
Are people like I'm looking at you directly in the camera here, listeners. Call and leave us a voicemail and tell us why you're going to go see this movie on opening weekend. Because this to me feels like Nickelback fans. I know that they're out there because people see their concerts and they buy their albums, but nobody admits to it. So, like, I want to know who is spending the money on opening weekend.
It's like Trump voters.
Yeah. Yeah. Who? Tell me. Come clean and tell me now.
And I'm not saying, like, I'm not a fan. I'm like, but I probably will go see it for the sake of seeing it. And I think there is a group of people that are like that or just like, fuck it. This is going to be a big movie because everyone's kind of talking about it.
I know that his nut is based on back end.
Yeah.
Because he's still making those deals. He can still make those deals.
Of course.
I don't want to go see it because I don't want his back end increased because he's treating people, he's acting like a grumpy old asshole.
He's Michael Bay. Michael Bay's a piece of shit too.
I know. But I'm just saying, man.
Michael Bay has more explosions.
That's true.
It's like he's already shitting on it so that if it doesn't do well, he can blame whatever his reasons are, right? Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, no one's going to the theater anymore because it's just fucking superhero movies. And it's like, I need to bring them. And it's like, no. The superhero movie fans are your bread and butter right now, buddy.
But in this one, he has a baby. He's a little baby.
So we are going to find out how he can go into a suit and impregnate an alien.
I don't know.
Are we just going to skip past that?
I don't know how babies are made. Period.
I have a book for that, actually. I just bought it for my kid.
The Bernstein Bears go to the hospital.
Turns out she already knew. So I can lend it to you if you want. It's called Sex is a Funny Word.
Wow.
I think what it looks like
and
what he's done for the film is fucking monumental.
Yeah.
It pushed filmmaking forward. It made CGI a lot better.
It made every film come out as 3D for the next like 3 years.
Right?
Yeah, I was constantly dizzy after that. Yeah. Like I just want to see a regular flat movie. Yeah,
My parents bought a 3D TV.
Oh my God, no.
We have one.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Goddamn glasses.
I know. So yeah, Emily, fuck it. Ian's going to go see it because he's like spectacle, check a box. I will only go. What do you have to do, Ian, to get me and Emily to go?
Yeah, I trust you, Ian. If you come back and you tell me, Emily, it is a good movie. It is legitimately enjoyable.
Okay.
And you will not fall asleep in this one. Then
I will
go
say
watch it.
I will be honest with
you. Or should
review.
We all go see it together?
No.
I would. I mean,
kidding.
Pinning that for now. We'll figure this out.
Yeah.
We'll figure out a way to do this.
Yeah, you know, hey. Because
if we all see it together,
then
I can tell you to your face in this room on record that...
I believe Avatar will be better than Don't Worry, Darling.
I haven't seen that.
There you go.
I'm going to watch Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that one.
Because it's a
terrible movie.
Yeah.
It's a real movie.
Is it terrible?
Terrible. Florence Pugh is great in it, but
real movie. All right. So that's our second take. Superhero fatigue. Is it real? Is it real in your life, Emily? Are you fatigued by superhero movies? Is this a problem? Do you find yourself breaking out in hives watching Iron Man?
You know what is a problem? I'll tell you, is that I have never understood the idea of too much of a good thing. And that is a problem in many ways in my life. But in superhero movies, it's not a problem.
Too much of a good thing exists right here on my person.
There is no such thing as too much of a good thing, in my opinion. That means I will never get tired of Star Wars content. I will never get tired of reboots of my favorite shows. I will never get tired of rewatching.
You watched Fuller House?
No, I did not. But I also, like, that's a little different. I will never get tired of things that I enjoy that feel familiar and that I really, really like and that hit all those pleasure centers in my brain. So
we're talking about movies and shows still?
It's anything. Okay. It's anything and everything. This is why I can't have a wine advent calendar.
And cheese.
But seriously, just...
Small room.
Yeah, you're welcome. But I don't have superhero movie fatigue. I don't have Marvel fatigue. And I will continue to watch... and love every single superhero movie that comes out, even if it's bad, because I know what's going to happen. I know the format. My brain knows what to expect. And it's like reading the back cover of a book before you read it. Like, there's no anxiety. There's no unknown. And that's not what I'm not going into those kind of movies to be like, wow, what a crazy twist. Like, I want predictability.
You know you're not going to get a crazy twist.
I want predictability. Well. I want
cap,
like,
on your left was pretty crazy.
Yeah. No, predictability and excitement and entertainment. And no, I'm not fatigued.
Okay. I have a question for us after. We'll go around the room first and do this. Ian, are you?
I am fatigued by Star Wars. I am slightly fatigued of Marvel, but I will still see everything. It's only because, like, Wakanda Forever, I came out and I was like, that was good. I don't think I'm as hyped by it because I've seen too many of these goddamn things, and I'm like, kind of, I know the formula.
That
so
one
much.
Moved the plot for the entire universe
it
along
did, but then
a
there's
lot
certain
more
things
than,
that
yeah,
I was
oh,
also
yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, like, where, but I did enjoy it. But,
so did I, yeah.
But then I, you know, I think back to phase four, and I'm like, oh my God, it was more duds than positives, so I,
Well, okay, somebody pointed this out on Twitter, I caught this on TikTok, they talked about it on Fat Man Beyond, they even did a TikTok of the guy who came up with it, and he had a really good point. He was like, this phase was about the changing of the guard.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It wasn't about...
It's book six of Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's a filler.
But where in this world we've got thousands of books to play on. So at what point do you show some exposition and some other...
Yeah.
Other than the stones, other than the big six, like the big things
like
we all
we know Shang-Chi's rings are going to be about something.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But we needed to see Shang-Chi earn them. Yeah. We needed to see...
We need the giant space monsters
become
of
Black
Eternals.
Panther. Yeah, 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 right? Yeah. We needed all those things. So, and except they didn't hand anything over. Well, actually, What's-Her-Face handed it over to them.
Yeah. We needed the third eye of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I still want to know where all these hands are on the planet that they haven't run into in the universe yet. Like you'd think at this point.
Yeah, it's
yes.
It's a much, but I think I'm hoping Ant-Man will streamline it. I think that's like part of Phase 5 now.
Kang will streamline so much.
Kang will streamline because
Kang goes back to like Kang is the oldest.
Yeah,
he's the oldest one. Okay, so
Mr.
yeah,
Burns. He's old.
I'm not fatigued from the universe.
Right.
I love
Sorry,
that shit.
MCU or the universe?
Itself. MCU. The universe
the
is
universe
driving
has
me
not
down.
The universe has not failed to entertain me yet.
I feel like that fucking just you know that hammer that keeps falling? Like Chinese water torture
right.
is the universe yeah. right now.
Wow, that's dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh it's goodness. Just you on a keyboard hitting M.
And that's on daily medicated ideas. Yeah. Like I'm medicated thinking that. Imagine what happens when I don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not fatigued by, and this will bring up my question, I'm not fatigued by the movies themselves. I love them. And I love them for everything that Emily said. I know what I'm getting. I love the fact that it's this inside club, right? Mm-hmm. That for anybody to walk into a Marvel movie now would be like, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's people diss formulaic movies, but they're formulaic for a reason.
Yeah. I've been watching like rom-coms lately and I love it.
I love it. Yeah. And you know what? Sorry, I'm going to cut off.
No.
But we watched a couple movies, we being Dan and I, watched a couple movies this past week that weren't Marvel movies. And actually Dan said, he's like, it's so crazy watching a movie that's not a Marvel movie mm-hmm. and being like, I had no idea what was going to happen there. So like by virtue of these movies being formulaic, they make other movies
better. Yeah, no, that's why I said positive about The Menu.
Yeah.
Here's my question. There's no room for better right now.
You're right.
Is that a problem?
I don't think that's true because, I mean, I watched, what did we watch? We watched Amsterdam, which was really, really fun.
And oh my God.
We watched,
bad movie.
No,
hey,
fun.
Listen,
Super
listen,
fun.
Listen. David O. Russell puts people together, ends up being a silly, weird, fun
it
time.
It was weird, silly, weird, and fun. Yeah. And
that
Barbarian.
Was not supposed to be like every other David O. Russell film.
And Barbarian,
which was amazing. Yeah.
And so we, but both of those, I think I was comparing them contextually to the movies that we watch all the time, which is Marvel Universe and things like that. And they were so different, which was very, very enjoyable. And so there is space for them. Maybe they're not blockbusters.
I'm speaking, like, this is from the guy who fans out, the guy who loves how the sausage is made, and then the guy who's interested in the business, right? Like, as I've done this, just me personally, my brain has been like, okay, I think I know enough about favorite moments and screens and all that stuff because I've been watching movies forever, but how does the business work? How does it get greenlit? Like, all those things I've been like, okay, like 10,000 hours. I got all this time, right? So I'm looking at it from a studio perspective where Barbarians maybe 7 million, but made a fuck ton.
It made a decent amount.
Now, the reason they greenlit it was because it cost 7 million.
Right.
Right.
There is no...
No marketing behind it.
There's
it,
no
marketing. Very little marketing.
Right. All us talking about it.
Yeah, it's word of mouth.
You're welcome, Barbarians. Yeah.
So... When a young
and Smile, by the way,
really
Smile is
yeah
making,
Smile yeah Smile killed it too.
Smile is still in theaters
like 170 million
fucking
after its first week.
Money, yeah.
Yeah, And that's why Blumhouse and James Wan are combining forces to make a super production House of Horror, because it's just cheap and fucking fast and very profitable.
I like how people are coming back around to like weird horror right now. Like,
yeah.
That makes me really
horror
happy.
Horror Plus is what
I've
I think they call it.
I've always loved weird horror, and so it's nice that it's coming
out. I got a Shudder subscription for a month.
I'm getting one, too.
It's great.
I'm going to get one.
I've been using my friend's Shudder subscription for years.
That's okay.
Shout out
Nobody important listens to the show. The only people important are the listener. The bad people, they don't listen to the show.
Yeah.
The good people do. But my concern is for the $120 million budget for the up-and-coming filmmaker that has an original story, there's no room for them. There's no room for Ian if Ian ever got
that's
far enough.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
But I'm also... You know, hopefully.
I mean, it will. It's a turn, right? It's so crazy how Netflix tried to do Jupiter Ascending or Jupiter Rising.
Jupiter Ascending. Yeah.
And Amazon's doing Invincible and The Boys, right? Like, superhero-dom in and of itself is the question. Not so much the Marvel Universe, but just the trope, the idea. Yeah. The
idea of super people. I don't even... I think even for me, like, now that I'm thinking about what I'm watching alternatively... Like, even when I'm not watching Marvel, I go back to, like, kind of Marvel. Like, I'm watching second season of Jessica Jones right now. And, like, I don't even think of...
Oh, you're Marvel adjacent.
I don't even think of that as superheroes, but it still is superheroes. Yeah. And so you're right. It's so pervasive.
Funny. And so, like you can't get in front of Warner Brothers because Warner Brothers is listening to the algorithm.
Right.
Because they've got to stay profitable because they're publicly traded. So from a business standpoint... There is the reason it's so much everywhere is because it's what we all want, and we all want it because it doesn't challenge us. It's fun to watch. For all the reasons we love it, it's all the reasons that we watch it, which is all the reasons why they make it, which is why they don't make anything else.
My dad has a saying for moments like this where I explain something to him, and then he looks around and he goes, "Society in decay." So shout out to Ken Clark, my dad, for this. This is a society in decay moment, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the modern filmmaker, yeah. I mean, Barbarian, X, Smile, Pearl. Right? Like, that kind of stuff you can do on the cheap, but imagine if that got a $120 million budget.
I don't think it would have been better, honestly.
Well, you know, but at the same time, like, we're in award season, and a lot of these, like Moonlight was a movie that was made for $7 million and won Best Picture.
Yeah.
And it was, you know.
Yeah.
Almost didn't.
But I think there is, like, space for that. It's just, word of mouth, good movies... Do well sometimes. Good movie.
Yeah,
also do
Coda
bad sometimes.
Right,
you Coda's a bad movie.
that's my point. Is
bad
that you
fucking
said that.
Movie.
But it's tough because like we're talking about, you know, it doesn't challenge us and everything like that. But I think that it's just because life is challenging.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be challenged by entertainment. We want to be entertained by it.
Yeah, and that's what a Marvel movie does, right? It takes you to this Greek mythical world of characters. Like there are Greek heroes. Superheroes are our versions of Zeus and the Titans, right? Like, that's what we have. It's off the page onto the screen. But I just, I would like to see a balance, I guess. Like, I still want what I want, and it's still going to come, and there's all the time in the world.
There was that point during, like, phase one where it felt like we were getting, like, a superhero movie, like, three times a year, which was felt like the right amount.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now it just feels like between the Disney Plus,
the shows,
and the, like, you know, it is homework to keep up, and it's a little bit much, which is why I dropped out of Star Wars. So I was like, you know, I didn't
something had
much.
To give.
Yeah. You know, that one I was
watch
like,
Andor, though.
It.
I can't get into Andor.
I'm on the third episode, and I kind of feel like giving up. And everyone keeps saying, like,
it's
keep
so
going.
Slow.
Guys, it's a heist movie. It's a terrorist show.
I can't get into it. It's driving me crazy.
Okay.
And
but
that feels
I
like
love
homework.
Michael Clayton, and it's the same, like, writer-director of Michael Clayton. And
So let me help you. As many seasons as they do, they will cover the 5 years before she steals the Death Star plans. That's what this show will cover, is 5 years of building the rebellion.
But I know what happens.
Is there an episode where things start to speed up? Like,
I was told it gets better because I'm on episode three, and I was told by episode five it gets better.
Okay, so maybe
you guys are also comparing it against these quick 7-episode seasons of Star Wars we've
been
getting.
I'm tired, Michael.
I know you are.
Yeah.
I get it. This isn't Mando. This isn't Boba.
Entertain me.
Yeah.
This isn't Annie. This isn't Obi. This is Annie Obi.
What it needs is superheroes.
Give me superheroes. Yeah. Entertain me.
It's long. It's 12 episodes. So the shortness
I'm
that you've
old
been con-
and tired.
You've
I'm
been
tired
conditioned
and old.
Though. You've been conditioned for these shorter seasons.
Yep.
what's happening in this is you are literally a part of this thriller heist chase movie. It's like Gone in 60 Seconds meets sci-fi. Like, they're going...
This is more interesting than the show. Can you act it out for me?
He did this to me with Game of Thrones because he remembered, like, everything. Like, he remembers Lord of the Rings stuff.
I'm already way more entertained by you than I have been by the first few seasons of Andor.
He knows all the character names.
The plot is a group of inner working politicians and fighters and rebellion leaders form a group, and they're missing one guy. So they bring on Cassian to fit into the group.
His
that group, you need Cassian money
Andor.
To start a rebellion, right?
Right.
They're going to steal one quarterly payment of the Empire's money from a battle station on a planet to start the rebellion, to start to buy ships, to start to buy battle stations, to take on the Empire.
Yeah, I mean, that's
you were
cool.
watching a grassroots attempt at him traveling through, building a team of rebels to then get to the point where you're in New Hope and they're all sitting in that room and they're all like ready to jump on their fighter, like on their TIE fighters.
I think I'm going to jump in partway.
Like,
okay.
It really is, it's slow, it's methodical, it's good. There's no aliens, it's all humans. It's Star Wars politics.
That's what gets me is like, I was watching it and I'm like, I want more pew pew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need more space.
You won't get it.
I know.
You won't get it. You're getting everything that built what
I don't want to see how they paid to blow things up. I just want to see them blow it up.
Yep.
But you remember how great it was when you saw Darth Vader just chop up a bunch of fucking people in that room just before the end in Rogue
One?
No one
remembers that.
In Rogue One, though, right? Yeah. This is all this is the blood beneath the railroad. This is the blood, sweat, and tears that caused everything that you love about Star Wars.
I'm going to watch it.
Here's a fun fact I learned.
I took a break from it just to watch other stuff, but I know what's going on,
and
I fucking love
it. It's been like a thing, like when I'm like, I got nothing to watch, I turn that on. So it's like, that's why it's been very slow. I think I'm at the point where he's about to be joined by this group. The fun Star Wars fact I learned today was, or yesterday, in Clockwork Orange, rewatching Kubrick.
Right.
So
murder show.
Do you guys remember Clockwork Orange?
Yes.
The very end where he goes back to the writer's house and the writer
wants to,
no longer a wife, but he has this like he has this bodybuilder who's like kind of protecting him. That bodybuilder is Darth Vader's body. Like that's Darth Vader. That's
the guy in like the little trunks who's lifting weights.
That's Darth Vader. That's the guy in the Darth Vader suit.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So when you know when they have footage of like before James Earl Jones and he was saying all the lines, that's him.
Amazing. Yeah. That's so cool.
Fun fact. So Kubrick to
Degrees of Star Wars.
I know you were saying
Stanley Kubrick.
You're reading a lot lately.
Yeah.
If you haven't read A Clockwork Orange,
I was actually put that on my list.
Yeah. I can't suggest it enough. It's so painful. I know this isn't a book.
No,
podcast,
that's fine. Books.
But
are what makes movies.
It's a horrifying book, and same with The Shining.
I read The Shining.
They're absolute. But like A Clockwork Orange is the most fucked up thing I've ever read in my whole life.
Threesome is not a threesome.
It's not.
I know. He drugs her or something.
No. It's children.
It's children.
Oh yeah, I knew
it's
that.
Children
too.
And it's rape.
It's children and it's drugs.
He's 15
and it's rape
in it too, I think.
Yeah,
as
the whole it's
the
most
book.
It's the most disturbing thing I've ever read.
Yeah.
I will totally attest to that. And also, he invented that language that he used in the book.
Yeah, it's like Russian propaganda slang, kind of.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really cool. It's definitely worth a read.
Yeah, it's on. It's gonna happen.
But it's not a happy read.
That's fine. Reading doesn't give me pleasure.
speaking of reading. Time to go. I don't know what those two things have in common.
it's time for me to go read bedtime stories.
Yes, that's what's reading. Yeah, I knew
to my kids
because we got to get you.
We got to go read some Harry Potter.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. There's another one in the can. Welcome to the Real Debaters in the can. No, it's not a part of the show. thank you so much for listening to another episode. Like we've said throughout this podcast, this broadcast, this show, leave voicemail if you have an opinion on any of these things. They will get played on the show.
I honestly, call me, tell me why you're going to go see. This message is for Emily. This is why I'm going to go see Avatar on opening weekend.
Hey, Emily.
Dak Shepherd has his armchairs. I want my debaters. We want some mass debaters. No, that's weird. Don't answer that call. If you're a fan and you have an opinion and you want to talk about something or you want to put something on the show, we'll block off a whole fucking segment of like Susie said, Johnny said, and then we'll talk about it. Like, we'll make time for it. We're just coming up with shit that we hope you guys like. If you want to say something about the show on that voicemail, you can do that too. Like, Michael, you talk too much. I'll listen to that. I will genuinely respond to that. Just don't be a dick when you say it.
I won't. If you tell me I talk too much, I don't take that feedback.
You can say, Michael, you talk long. Talk less. Okay. If you said, Michael, you bald fuck, you talk too long, I would be upset.
You talk long.
You talk long.
You talk long. 7.2 inches long.
It's too long.
It's basically 8.
So, yeah, that's a review line. That's a request line. That's a comment line. It's whatever you want. And you can do it from your smartphone. Just press record on your smartphone and then just talk in your microphone. And then press send, and I'll get an email, and then we'll play it on the show. Subscribe to the show if this is your first time and you liked it. Listen to the end credit trailer that tells you all about how to join the Debaterverse. We've got a new and updated edit coming for that soon, which includes, like, Ian and Diamond and the stuff they do on TikTok together. And the shit that Ian will eventually tell you about later on the show when he finally gets that done. And then, like, the stand-up that Jimmy does and Martin does in Vancouver and String Bean Comics that Mark is a part of and Dodgeball for Emily. Like, it's the Debaterverse. Woo! So, like, if you want to go see Emily play Dodgeball, just don't be a weird person.
Nah, you can be weird. Dodgeball loves weird people.
Well, the point is that end credit trailer will have a lot of updated stuff shortly. Right now, it just tells you how to support the show because we're self-supported. So if you feel like throwing some pocket change at us or some dumb shit like that, it's all in the end credits. We're horrible at promotion. But we'll promote your product if you want to support the show. I have nothing else. So I have been Lewis Winthorpe III. Ian, who have you been?
Ian the Third.
Emily, were you playing anybody?
Emily Clark Griswold.
Ah, there we... Oh, that plays so well. Fuck. You want to try that again, Ian? No?
Ian Christmas.
Ian... fine. Fair enough.
Yes.
I keep panicking.
That beloved childhood character.
This is that part of the show where we stop talking. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody say bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Watch all the movies.
Bye.
Bye.
Spanish ladies.